will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you stand?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. My name, my name, my name. Say my name. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get to me. My goodness gracious, my goodness gracious, my goodness gracious, oh Lord, oh Lord, who wouldn't want to be George Bush today? I want to talk about a couple of things this morning. Polls for George W. Bush. And the other is Barry Bonds. How are they connected? Are they connected? Well, we're going to talk about how they're connected in that, and I want y'all to get in on this discussion. Nearly half of the United States public, and this is a newspaper article. The story that's reporting this is the story out of France. Nearly half of the U.S. public wants George W. Bush to face impeachment and even more favor that for the fate of Dick Cheney. This is a poll that came out just on Friday. The survey by the American Research Group found that 45% of the United States, 45% support the U.S. House of Representatives beginning impeachment proceedings against Bush, 46% opposed, and a 54% split of Americans that want Cheney impeached. This is a study by a private New Hampshire-based company. They canvassed 1,100 Americans by telephone July 3rd through 5th, which is an interesting day to pick. They canvassed people on 4th of July, when theoretically people are feeling the most patriotic, right? That's like asking about Christmas, you know, how you feel about Santa Claus during Christmas. And when they canvass people during the 4th of July holidays, 54% of Americans said impeach Cheney. 45% said impeach Bush. 46% said no. Nevertheless, 45% during the 4th of July holiday that says impeach George Bush, that's a significant number. One 877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. Yes, you do. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. Say my name. I'm Liz Brown. I'll be back.
Like many others, except this one's under attack by energy hogs. They show up anywhere energy's being wasted.
Talk to me, hogs.
The washer, it's not Energy Star rated.
Outstanding. What about the thermostat?
Not programmable. I repeat, not programmable.
Looks like we're living high on the hog.
Only one person has the power to get rid of energy hogs. You.
Hold on! Someone's home!
And he's got energy-efficient light bulbs!
To find out how you can fight energy hogs, log on to energyhog.org. You'll find fun games and lots of tips on making your home more energy efficient.
Now he's installing Energy Star appliances.
Not Energy Star! That's it! Get out of there! I'll get you, energyhog.org!
Hey! Wait for me!
Brought to you by the Alliance to Save Energy, the Department of Energy, and the Ad Council.
Parade Magazine says, can a Russian funny man make Americans laugh? Yes.
In the bathroom, there's a sign that says, baby changing station. So I'm thinking, if you don't like your baby.
Newsweek says, Yakov is raucously funny.
Come see me in Branson. You love your Yakov. Call 800-33-NO-KGB.
Time Life presents the complete 10 CD classic soul ballads collection.
Love me tonight.
144 sensual ballads.
Here and now.
Luther Vandross, Al Green, Barry White, Aretha Franklin.
Just to be close to you.
And now, for the first time ever, you can check out the entire 10 CD collection for 30 days for just
$9.95.
But wait, when you order with your credit card, you'll get free shipping and handling. That's a savings of nearly $13. So order with your credit card, and for just $9.95, you can enjoy all 10 CDs of classic soul ballads in your home. And we'll ship it to you free. If it's not the best collection you've ever heard, send it back and owe nothing more.
Call 1-800-313-6969. That's 1-800-313-6969. 1-800-313-6969.
This is Judy Moskoff. Join me for A Gardener's Notebook every Monday at 12 noon on AM 920. Get useful tips on growing beautiful flowers and fresh produce. That's A Gardener's Notebook, Mondays at noon on AM 920 WGNU.
The award-winning Wake-Up Call, analyzing the story shaping your world.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. Say my name, say my name, say my name. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much business to tend to, much, much, much to talk about, much business to tend to. My goodness gracious, we have a lot to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And if you want to email me, do that at 454-6609. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get up. Get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up. Get up. Get to me. Oh, my goodness gracious, huh? I want to talk about Barry Bonds. I think as much as I talk about politics, as much as I talk about social issues, as much as I talk about, books and authors and all kinds of things, all kinds of issues, I believe that sports really is one of the rawest indicators of how the energy of this country percolates along with respect to race. You get raw stuff on race, with race, about race. And no better example of how this country percolates along on the issue of race is the question of the issue of Barry Bonds. There are people that would tell you every day of the week that it was appropriate to boo Barry Bonds when he came to St. Louis. To boo him. And I'd like to know what Barry Bonds' offense is, other than being a man of African descent who doesn't dance when told to by people who hate him. I'd like to know what the offense of Barry Bonds is. Because surely this drug nation ain't mad about drugs. Surely this puritanical of drug nation, yeah, put those two words together, ain't mad about drug use. Oh, that's right. Surely this rule of law nation is not worried about accusations of drug use. Truly, what this hot dog apple pie baseball nation? Hot dog, apple pie, baseball, loving nation, surely is not mad at Barry Bonds for breaking a baseball record. That's the cause. That's what they make firecrackers for, right? That's what puts the C in celebration, right? I'd like to know where the fury, what propels, what's the energy behind the fury directed at Barry Bonds? What's the energy behind it? You know, I mean, Ty Cobb was a virulent, junky, racist, mean, ugly man. Nobody liked him. His dog bit him in the butt. His own dog. Nobody liked him. So it can't be that because you have a surly attitude. If you want to speak of surly attitudes, let's talk about Mark McGuire. I don't know a sports writer in St. Louis that liked Mark McGuire, and they didn't like him because he had a nasty, ugly attitude. They still have that stretch of highway called Mark McGuire Highway. I think they do. He disliked St. Louis so much he didn't even live here. And he said he wasn't going to live here. He said he's getting the heck out of Dodge every single time the season ended and even before it ended. I'm not living here. So tell me why people said boo Barry Bonds? Huh. Barry Bonds said to the, told the MLB, talked to people in the baseball industry and said, you know I'm not quitting. I look at it this way. You guys can pitch to me now or you can wait till next year. And I'm still coming back. I'm planning on playing. The sooner I get it done, the sooner I can probably go home. I love your attitude. I'm here. I'm here and I'm going to break this record. Barry Bonds said on Friday that he's going to suit up for his 23rd season in 2008. He's just 43. Barry Bonds, despite the fact that everybody is pitching around him, even I know what that means. I know what that means. He's hitting a, 295? And they're pitching around him. What does that say about how the man can hit? 17 homers, 42 RBIs. Oh, did I mention that he had surgery on his left knee? Between the 2004 and 2006 season? Oh, did I mention that he had three surgeries on his right knee, one surgery on his left knee? Oh, did I mention he had surgery on his left elbow? If that's steroids, baby, everybody needs to be popping them. Everybody needs to be popping. You know that nobody would be saying a word out there if there was a drug that could make a man hit like that. Because everybody would be taking them if there were drugs out there that could make a man hit like that. Oh, did I mention that Barry Bonds was voted into the National League starting outfield for, Tuesday's All-Stars game? Oh, did I mention that Barry Bonds is one of the oldest players in baseball to start on a daily basis? Huh. He leads the major league in walks, 91 walks, 30 intentional walks. Huh. Oh, did I mention that Barry Bonds has played in 78 of the club's first 86 games, tying him for the team lead? If there's a drug out there that can make you perform under with all of that, trust me, everybody would be taking it and nobody would be saying nothing about it. Ain't no drugs, and that's what makes some of y'all so mad. Ain't no drugs. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and your weather. Westbound 270 between Old Halls Ferry and Graham Hanley. Look for traffic to be building this hour. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for some slowdowns, especially in the left lanes. There's going to be a lot more going on westbound as well in a couple of hours. Northbound 270 from 44 through Doherty Ferry, that traffic is starting to build up. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270, look for some slowdowns as well. Eastbound 40 from the Boone Bridge through Boone's Crossing, look for some slowdowns there. Everything's running smoothly from Mason through McKnight at this hour. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79, look for traffic to be building. Westbound Kingbridge traffic's moving well into landing. Northbound 55 from Butler Hill into the 255 exchange. Look for some slowdowns. And then again from 3200 South Broadway into 44, you can expect some delays. That is a look at your traffic for this Monday morning. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. For today, partly cloudy skies, chance of showers, highs in the mid-90s. This evening, partly cloudy, another chance for showers, lows in the mid-70s. Tuesday, partly sunny in the morning and early afternoon, becoming mostly cloudy. A good chance for showers and thunderstorms Tuesday with a high around 90. Tuesday evening, showers and thunderstorms are likely with a low around 70. Then on Wednesday, partly sunny once again, a chance of showers. Highs will only be in the mid-80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 74 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 75. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
Are you an inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? Well, for free information on how to proceed, call this toll-free number.
Call 800-346-9966.
InventHelp, one of America's largest invention companies, has inventor information you can have for free. Record your invention's date of origination, plus get an information brochure and other materials of interest to new inventors. Learn how to get this free information just by calling this toll-free number.
Call 800-346-9966. That's 1-800-346-9966.
Even if you have an idea for improving an existing product and don't know where to go with it, you'll want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. So call InventHelp right now, toll free.
Call 800-346-9966. That's 1-800-346-9966.
People, have you heard about Golden Grocer Natural Market? It's locally owned and operated for over 30 years and serving and meeting your health needs by ensuring the best quality and selection in vitamin supplements and organic groceries. Golden Grocer Natural Market has the largest loose herb selection around. You can also get your grains and natural beauty items as well. Their staff is friendly, knowledgeable, and committed to helping you on your journey to improved and enhanced health. Golden Grocer believes that the healthiest goal is achieving balance in every area of your life. So, live your life like it's golden, and let Golden Grocer help you along the way. Golden Grocer, Natural Market, 335 North Euclid, right there in the Central West End. Open 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday, and Sunday 12 to 5. Golden Grocer, 367-0405. That's 367-0405.
Hi, I'm Laurie Fulkerson, inviting you to join me every Monday morning at 10 on AM 920 WGNU. You'll hear stories of people just like you who are overcoming obstacles and making a difference in the lives of others. You're invited to share your thoughts. You know people are what matter most to me, and I enjoy talking with you and helping you reach your highest goals. Join me for the Laurie Fulkerson Show, Monday morning at 10 on AM 920 WGNU. We're here to discuss what matters most to you.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Hey, just a little bit longer. Please, 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 please tell them who you're coming to. Now all your daddy's on your mind, and your mommy's on your mind. If we have another
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get up. Get to me. I just wanted to just...
stay with this Barry Bonds issue just for a second. Can you just give me a minute with this? Can you give me a minute with this? Barry Bonds, I want to know why. There's only one conclusion about Barry Bonds. There's only one conclusion about the rage that is directed at Barry Bonds. It's about race. It's about race. It is about race. Say what you want to. Say what you want. He's 43 years old. Oh, did I mention how much money he's making? Did I mention how much money he's making? Huh? He's making a whole lot of money. A whole lot of M-O-N-E-Y while he's doing this. He has played in 78 of the club's first 86 games. The one-year free agent deal that he signed offseason will pay him as much as $20 million if he reaches 525 plate appearances. He has 313 going into the break and will earn all except for the $700,000 of the $4.2 million in incentive bonuses by the time he gets to 450. Hello. 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 Yes, ma'am.
Oh, I'm not a sports fan, but I've been listening to everything and watching. You had an author on Friday that talked about...
Tim Wise. Mm-hmm.
Yes, but see now, Barry Bonds is not a safe Negro, is what they're looking at, because he won't be intimidated. And he can do and say anything that he wants to, and he's not going to back down.
No one has to back down.
No.
Okay. I mean, so he chooses not to. He says, I am not going to. And I am not going to dance because you asked me to dance. I'm not going to smile because you expect me to smile. I know what he's saying. I know what America is.
He's not a shuffling Negro.
Well, I don't like that phrase, but he does not. He does not dance when he's told to dance.
Right. So he just intimidates them because of his intelligence and his backbone.
All right. Thanks for your call.
You're welcome. 1-877-920-WGNU.
Mark.
Yeah, I don't see where you're thinking is race there, Liz. I believe Hank Aaron's black, ain't he?
Yes, he is.
Well, that's the only thing Bonds is going for his record. What does it matter to us white folk out here?
Well, let me explain what it does to some white folks out there. You may be the exception, I don't know. But there are plenty of angry white males who are engaged in a fury that is inexplicable that is directed towards Barry Bonds. If Barry Bonds beats Hank Aaron's record, that means that Barry Bonds is the record holder. And you don't want someone who you hate to have a record. That's just common sense.
The whole reason I see it, Liz, and it's been this way for, he came up in 87, so, probably by 90, he was already shunning, he seemed to be shunning fans.
So did Ty Cobb.
Didn't want to give any interviews.
So did Ty Cobb. Wait a minute, hold on. So did Ty Cobb. There are a lot of angry white male players out there. Mark McGwire was disliked by every sports writer that I ever talked to in St. Louis. He didn't like the fans. He didn't like St. Louis. He spit on St. Louis.
And
he said, I'm going to go and live. I'm not living in St. Louis.
But
they named a piece of the They named a piece of highway after Mark McGwire, and they said Mark McGwire was wonderful. So it's not because you shun the fans, because that's not how white players who shun fans are treated. You got to give me a better example than that, Mark.
I'm familiar with the sports memorabilia trade. Okay, you couldn't give away Mark McGwire stuff in this city right
today.
Now.
Today,
for the same reason.
No, he's not. He was not shunned when he was playing at the time that he was in St. Louis.
No, but when he got up there babbling like an idiot in front of the Senate, crying about
that's after the steroids. But that's no. Bonds has been hated since he's been there. Bonds has, and Mark McGuire was a jerk and a pain in the butt to news writers every moment he was here in St. Louis, and they didn't say boo about his attitude.
Yeah, but now the difference.
So you
got to
give me a better example.
Steroids.
You got to give me a better example.
Steroids.
No.
Yeah.
That is not the example, because you said it was about Barry Bonds' attitude. That was the first thing that you said, and I debunked that.
I'm saying why the fans shun him. The reason nobody wants him to get this record is because he did it. He cheated.
How did he cheat?
Steroids, just like McGuire cheated.
And what's the proof of the steroids for Bonds?
Oh, please.
No, don't please me. Don't
feel like a brick outhouse.
And he
just got that way recently.
Okay, so then explain. So you're saying that the proof of it is you're eyeballing his body and saying it has to be that's the proof in America?
All of them with them 22-inch pythons.
Then where's the evidence of it?
All right.
Where's the evidence of it, Mark? I'm an American. I'm a lawyer. Where's the evidence of it besides your eyeballing? Oh, so that's what the law comes down to now. That's what rules come down to. It's your observation. He must be doing that. Sammy, wait a minute. Let me ask you this. How is Sammy Sosa built? He's built like one of those brick bathrooms, too.
Everybody loves Sammy, too.
Wait a minute. Isn't he taking steroids? He's built like a brick outhouse, too.
But he's out too.
Hello.
Where's Sammy Sosa?
Hello. Your evidence of Barry Bonds is he's built like a brick outhouse. So is Sammy. No, wait a minute. So is Sammy Sosa. So Sammy Sosa, according to Mark, you being Mark, your conclusion, Sammy Sosa is taking drugs, steroids too, right, Mark?
I believe he weighs Kosenko, the whole group.
So you believe Sammy Sosa is taking drugs too?
Look at what's his name? Raphael.
So he's taking drugs too.
Pointed his finger at these senators during that little meeting. I did not. Pointing his finger, he said.
Mark, you didn't answer my question.
I took steroids. 2 weeks later, he was busted with steroids.
And wait a minute, Mark. So the proof of steroid use. I just want to be clear, but before I let you go here, the proof of steroid use is you eyeballing a man's body.
I guess. But
can
I say something positive?
There you go. Let
me say something positive. You know, 2 years after Barry Bonds started, they were already comparing him to Mickey Mantle, and I do not believe he was on steroids when he first came out, okay? Barry Bonds is a terrible ball player, probably the greatest ball player I will see in my lifetime. But here he shouldn't get this record because he's cheating.
And why is he cheating?
I told you.
Because you were eyeballing his body.
All right.
You eyeballing his body. Got it. I got it. The proof, first of all, we just need to understand what the facts need to be. And the facts are, if you're going to accuse somebody of something, there needs to be proof of it. And if you're going to yank somebody's record of something, you got to give me a better explanation than I looked at his body and I know that he's doing steroids. Yeah, because if it's that clear and if it's that obvious, then where's the evidence of it? They're testing them, aren't they? They're testing them, aren't they? Keith?
They don't need no proof. You already discussed why they don't like that man. His father was a superstar that didn't mess with the media.
That's right.
And then he watched how the media
treated
and
his daddy.
Other teams treated his dad as a child.
That's right.
Ken Griffey Jr. is another superstar, a black superstar, and he can't stand it because he watched how they treated his daddy. Ken Griffey Sr., he will never play for certain teams, Ken Griffey said, because he watched how his father would come up and speak to him, and they would humiliate this man, would not talk to him. And Barry Bonds' father is the same way. So if someone treated my father the same way, my revenge was to get back. It's just saying, I don't have to sit up in front of a microphone and answer all your little silly questions. And just because I got a nice body don't mean anything, but there's a list of it. Ted Williams, one of the biggest stars in baseball, played for Boston, hated the media, and the fans, he mistreated the media just in the city, just like Mark McGuire treated St. Louis. And I knew how Mark McGuire treated St. Louis, and they still loved him. They said he could have walked on water, and they named a highway portion after him.
And even after they said that they really hate Mark McGuire now, I haven't seen the highway sign come down, have you?
I haven't read nothing super, super negative either. And they knew how he was when...
Well, wait a minute. Didn't we have the steroid question when Mark McGuire got here?
Mark McGuire, long before, they knew that Mark McGuire, if you look at his home runs and all that, several years before he got here, he was on the downward slide. He had a bad back.
How's Barry Bonds doing?
Hey, he's still playing.
Okay.
With all this scandal, supposedly.
And with all this drug use, explain how he still, how he has the record that he has. Explain that.
Still.
At 43.
They can give you the most powerful steroid in the world. I bet you won't even get a base hit at a 90-mile-an-hour fastball.
I'll get a big knot on my head.
You're right. So we know why they don't like this kid, but they mistreated his dad, mistreated him through the 60s and 70s. Because his dad was a superstar, and his dad was the same way.
And I got a roll. Thanks for your call. Thanks for your call. I'll be back for more of your comments, more of your observations. Stay with me. Summertime, and the living is easy, right? Not if you don't get your family reunion t-shirts done on time. Here's a tip. Call Robert Guy and Associates, 421-3200. They specialize in family reunion t-shirts and softball team t-shirts. In fact, Robert Guy and Associates will put together fabulous t-shirts for all occasions. Here's the address. 2006 Salisbury. The number is 421-3200. Robert Guy and Associates, your t-shirt specialist. And check this out. If you mention you heard this on the Liz Brown Show, you'll get 10% off. It doesn't get any better. 421-3200, Robert Guy and Associates.
Thanks to modern realities of speed and distraction, Interstate Highway Ditch can be yours. Here's how. Next time you're in a car and the driver's driving recklessly, simply say nothing. Ignore that little feeling in the pit of your stomach, and you too can experience Interstate Highway Ditch. Interstate Highway Ditch has been associated with rollovers, passenger ejection, and death. Passengers who wish to avoid Interstate Highway Ditch can do so by following simple steps, like speaking up and telling their friends to slow down.
There is no spokesperson to prevent reckless driving. There's only you. Speak up. This has been a message from the Ad Council.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
This is Phil Person of Person Roofing. I'd like to introduce to you one of my customers, Joe Scoggins. Mr. Scoggins, how long ago did we work on your property?
It was approximately 8 to 9 years ago, Mr. Persons.
Okay, have you had any problems with your roof since that time?
Well, actually, about 3 weeks ago, I called you, and there was some water damage that was caused as a result of the storm last fall.
Okay.
And you were out the following day to do the repair work. And it was done in such a professional way that I would recommend you to any and everyone.
So how much did we charge you?
It was free, and it was done within a matter of 3 hours.
All right.
So I called you one day, and you were out the very next day, you and your son and his assistant, and you went up on the roof, and you accomplished the task within a matter of 3 hours.
This is Phil Person of Person Roofing. Our service starts when we complete your roof. Our number is 361-7127. You can call us day or night. 361-7127.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning wake-up call
with Liz Brown. Rise up, rise up. Everybody gotta rise up, come follow me, rise up, rise up. It's the massive, got to rise up, you got to rise up, rise up. Everybody gotta rise up, yeah, you gotta rise up, rise up.
there's an island singing, we go by the silence. Now don't you run from the ark and its power.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. Tim.
Yeah, good morning. How you doing?
I am outstanding.
I watched the hearings on the steroids, and it was embarrassing, McGuire's testimony. And Sosa, too. Sosa was trying to act like he speaks fluent English. He was trying to act like he couldn't understand the questions. McGuire was just, all he did was basically take the fifth. I don't want to talk about the past. Let's talk about the future. That's like telling a judge, you know, did you commit this murder? No, I don't want to talk about the past. But Barry Bonds did admit taking the steroids. He said he didn't know they were steroids. He said his doctor or trainer gave him a cream. Turns out later on he admitted it was steroids. He thought at the time it was for arthritis. So whether that's believable or not, it's up to different people to interpret. But supposedly two forms of steroids he has admitted taking, but he said he took them inadvertently. So, I mean, I just heard you and the caller going back and forth on where's the proof. He has admitted taking them.
And, again, we go back to the whole thing of the illegality of it. At the time that Barry Bonds supposedly used inadvertently steroids, was it illegal?
Yeah, well, in society it was.
Well, no. Was it illegal in baseball?
It's right around the time. I couldn't answer you for sure.
Well, I've had several guests on the show that have said that at the time that they say that he used it inadvertently, it was not illegal in baseball.
And I have no problem with that. I have no problem with baseball not doing anything to him. Like you said, they can't. But I was just saying about he did admit taking them. That's why the whole.
Well, no, that's not admitting taking them. His statement, I didn't take them. That if it was in there, it wasn't because I was taking them. It was because somebody mixed up something that I didn't know what it was. I went out drinking when I was drinking soda, and I didn't know that somebody put alcohol in my drink. I wasn't drinking. Somebody put alcohol in my drink.
Well, yeah, I know. Well, as you a defense lawyer, you know it's. I mean, you could say that, but nobody's going to believe you.
Well, wait a minute. What do you mean? How can that not be true? I mean, isn't that the same thing? If you're saying that you didn't know that a substance was in something that you ingested or you put on your body, how can someone say that you took that? You didn't. It was forced upon you.
Right. I mean, to me, it's an excuse. I would try.
Well, wait a minute. Are you saying that in the realm of possibility, this cannot happen? That somebody could begin. What is it that would cause you? Has he said other lies in the past that would make you not believe him?
I'm sorry, I'm using common sense with you, but
no, you're not using common sense. Let me tell you something as a woman. What is the chance of a woman walking into a bar, ordering a drink, and somebody putting something in her drink without her knowledge?
That's a very good chance.
Okay, well then, so why couldn't someone someone hands them something and says, put this on your body, and you're not thinking that anything wrong is in or anything that you didn't know that was in it, that they wouldn't do that? Do you know what's in everything that you put on your body?
No, that's why I'm saying it's possible, but he's a health freak. I mean, that's just like, I don't think there'd be anybody in jail for a narcotic, because all you have to do is say, I didn't know that was cocaine, I thought it was a Prince Sloan vitamin.
But someone can say that, you have to
look.
But that doesn't mean that it is an impossible thing. You have to look at all of the circumstances surrounding it, and
right.
I am asking you, what circumstances exist that take you to this place where you're laughing it off and saying that I would have said it too, even if I knew it was differently? What are you using as a fact for that?
Well, I mean, it's because if people watching the game see the guy gain 40 pounds of muscle and he can't see it.
Wait a minute. What period of time did he? Are you saying that between the period of time that he put this cream on his body, he gained 40 pounds? Did he say that?
Four or five years ago.
Did he say that?
Did he say that?
Yeah, did he say that? Did anybody say that there was this?
Yeah,
everybody's
saying that.
No.
I'm a big sports fan, Liz.
Well,
you admit you know nothing about sports.
Absolutely. But that doesn't mean that I don't know anything about certain particular cases.
Right.
And with respect, you
had your way, justice to Reggie, the murderer would be out of jail. So we can't go by you don't have any credibility.
Why I don't have any credibility?
You want justice for Reggie. I want justice for Reggie, too. I want him
what
to
do
die
you know,
quickly.
What's the name of the prosecutor in that case?
I believe it was, it started with an H.
Okay, no, it's Nails Moss. Name me.
I've heard him on a show, actually, yeah, Nails Moss.
Okay, so you don't know, you know very little about the case, but you want this guy.
I know he's a jury.
And
OJ was let off. OJ's in it. Why do you believe the jury in cases, but when it comes to a black, you don't believe it? You want Libby in jail, but you want this Reggie guy who killed two girls. You want him out of jail. You are sick.
Well, no, I'm not. Here's the difference, and I'm going to say I'm going to move on. And you know the answer to this.
Well,
you
I
have
for
to
you the answer.
I know you know the answer to this. You can laugh all you want to, but you know the answer to this. Every single case requires Americans that are concerned about justice to look at the justice system. As a person of African descent, I am full aware of innocent African people on death row. Dozens and dozens of them have been let out of jail. There are hundreds and hundreds more still in jail. I know that Nels Moss and many other prosecutors, D. Joyce Hayes, who have struck black people off of juries because of the color of their skin in order to get a conviction. I know that. You can laugh about it. You can giggle about it. You can ignore it all you want. But we live in a society that makes negative, lawless, racist decisions based upon people's color of their skin. I know the reason why I drew the conclusion as a defense lawyer about the O.J. Simpson case. I watched the trial. I saw the evidence. And the jury made their decision based upon the evidence. I'm asking that the jury's decision be respected, just as the same as I am doing with respect to Scooter Libby. Scooter Libby was tried by a jury. I looked at the evidence. And what has to happen with Scooter Libby? Scooter Libby, the president, has to step in to get him out of jail, to get him his out-of-jail-free card. Of course, we live in a society where decisions of life and death, justice for Reggie, are made on a daily basis. Innocent people are killed. Innocent people are put on death row. Ask Ellen Reasonover about the quality of justice out here and what happens in this nation. Is Barry Bonds being pursued negatively because of the color of his skin? Absolutely. Absolutely. Because when you look at similarly situated white men, no, not even similarly situated white men who are admitted drug users, white men who terrify reporters, trash the fans, trash their community. Nobody is pursued in the same way that Barry Bonds is. What's the difference? It's called logic. It's not common sense because people can have common sense but still be illogical. Ken?
Yes?
Quickly.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Historically, black players have always been treated differently by sport writers and persons identified with the media. I was related to James Culpepper Bell, Baseball Hall of Famer. I talked with Satchel Paige, Jackie Robinson, and Monty Irvin as a youngster, and they thought nothing of sports writers and media persons because they wouldn't even attend their games.
There
they would
go.
Be in the bar up the street while they were playing these games, while they were being paid to view these games, and would meet these guys coming out the ballpark afterwards and ask them, what was the score?
Mm.
And how did you play?
Mm.
There's several things I could tell you about these persons, but they have always been treated differently.
And poorly. Let's be clear. Poorly,
just ignored.
There you go.
Of course, once they were greeted by the Baseball Hall of Fame, then they greeted them and they welcomed them.
Some of them. And
yes,
I got a roll.
I could tell you, I know you're in a hurry, but I could tell you about an incident.
Got a roll. Thank you, Ken.
At the Baseball Hall of Fame also.
All right, my name is Liz Brown. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, and we are brothers and sisters.
For the issues that matter most,
It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Karen Chase. It's a heated battle for firefighters in at least 10 western states where wildfires have destroyed dozens of homes and hundreds of thousands of acres of land. One fire in Utah, where 440 square miles have been scorched, is being called the biggest in state history. And this man said it was as fast as it was furious, jumping a fire line and forcing him to flee.
We jumped it and we figured, you know what, this ain't worth it. We need to get out of here because it's hot. Felt like somebody's holding a blow-up dryer to the back of your head.
One person was killed trying to retrieve belongings from a burning home in South Dakota. A searing heat wave is spreading east. ABC's T.J. Winnick tells us it's now sizzling the Midwest and the eastern seaboard.
Across the Midwest, cooling centers opened as temperatures soared into the mid and upper 90s. Along the East Coast, the city of Baltimore has declared a code red heat alert all the way through Thursday. In New York and Washington, the mercury is expected to climb even higher on Monday with a heat index in the triple digits.
Senate Democrats are planning to introduce a series of amendments to a military spending bill that will challenge the president's Iraq war policies. One would require the pullout of U.S. troops in 120 days. ABC News consultant Tony Cordesman doesn't think they'll pass until after the military's quarterly briefing in September, but he does see a mood shift in Congress.
The start of a debate which is getting more and more serious, because the Democratic majority is beginning to see enough Republicans to give them at least the possibility of winning a straight-up vote on cutting funding.
Anti-war activist Cindy Sheehan is threatening to run for House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's California congressional seat if Pelosi doesn't start working toward the impeachment of President Bush. Only one of the old seven wonders of the world made it onto the list of the new seven wonders as chosen by popular worldwide internet voting, the Egyptian pyramids. Among the new ones, the Taj Mahal, Christ the Redeemer in Rio, the Great Wall of China, Petra Jordan, and Machu Picchu in Peru. This is ABC News.
Our next exercise, transporting baby. Lug stroller down flight of stairs. Knees bent, lift up, and step, and step. Give dirty looks to people who don't help. Good. Only 20 more to go. And 19 and 18. Pick a fallen squeaky toy. 18, 18, 18, 18.
Life is exercise. Snickers Marathon is energy. Great tasting, nutritious, long-lasting energy for the demands of your day. Grab a Snickers Marathon in the energy bar aisle.
If you have diabetes, then you know your meter is your lifeline. Luckily for you, new meters are more accurate and are easier to use. And the best news is, with our new alternate site meters, you don't have to prick your fingers anymore. And if you're covered by Medicare, Access Diabetic Supply will send you one of these new meters at no cost to you.
800-869-8538. 800-869-8538. 800-869-8538.
An Oscar-winning movie maker is breaking his silence about some of his biggest movies.
Steven Spielberg has never recorded audio commentary for video releases of his films, but DCM Spielberg on Spielberg helps to rectify that. Here's Spielberg on Jaws.
The shark not working when we needed it to work probably added $175 million to the box office. What's scary about that movie is the unseen.
Spielberg on Saving Private Ryan.
I thought nobody would go to see this picture, but I thought the film was going to add something to inform audiences what soldiers have to really go through.
Richard Schickel, who produced this special, says Steven Spielberg is a director of staggering range. Bill Deal, ABC News.
A would-be robber tried to rob a bank, and the crime involved several branches, but not that kind. Police in Manchester, New Hampshire, say the would-be thief tried to disguise himself by duct-taping tree branches to his head. He made off with an undisclosed amount of money, leaving a lot of mystified customers in his wake. I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Here's this hour's WGNU local report. I'm Peyton Colston. A highway worker in a MoDOT construction zone was struck and killed on Highway 40 Saturday morning in the Chesterfield Valley. Police say 22-year-old Gavin Donahue was struck by a minivan and killed about a quarter mile east of Boone's Crossing at mile marker 17 near the Kemp Auto Museum. Police say prosecutors have charged Ryan Sealer, 33, of St. Peter's, with involuntary manslaughter and driving while intoxicated. Donahue was working for the Pace Construction Company, which is in the process of resurfacing the pavement on that stretch of Highway 40. MoDOT officials say the Chesterfield Valley is one of about 40 work zones around the St. Louis area this summer. Each contains an average of 10 workers trying to keep out of harm's way. Police say Ryan Sealer was alone in the minivan he was driving. In Alton, a veteran police officer has been suspended without pay and could be fired later this month after being accused of stealing money from the department's evidence room. WGNU's Charles Gear has more.
Officer Mickey Dooley is a 24-year veteran of the Alton Police and has been in charge of the evidence room for the past 3 years. The allegations followed an internal audit in April that revealed money was missing from the Alton Police evidence vault. Alton Police Chief Chris Sullivan says that Dooley is not necessarily the only person to have access to the vault. However, he was suspended after investigations by the FBI and Illinois State Police determined that he was. The investigation continues. Authorities do not know how much money has allegedly been stolen.
That's WGNU's Charles Gear, and I'm Peyton Colston for AM 920 WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and your weather. Westbound 70 between Goodfellow and Jennings Station Road is an accident. Left lane's blocked. That's at Jennings Station. Look for stop-and-go traffic. Northbound 55 from Herculaneum through Route Z. Look for an accident. That's reported on the ramp to Highway Z. Westbound 270 from Bell Fountain into Washington Elizabeth. Look for slow traffic due to disabled vehicle. Left lane's blocked. That's at Washington Elizabeth. Northbound 270 from Gravois through Doherty Ferry. Expect slowdowns there. Eastbound 70 from Highway K through 79. Look for some delays. Westbound 5570 from 64 all the way into the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for a lot of slowdowns going on there. That's as a result of some ongoing construction work just west of the bridge. So expect delays. Westbound Kingbridge traffic's moving well into the landing. Southbound 270 from 70 into Dorset. Look for heavy volume there. Eastbound 70 from 270 into St. Charles. Look for very heavy volume going on there as well. Northbound 270, consequently, from Dorset through the 70 eastbound lanes. Look for slowdowns in the 70 eastbound lanes. Westbound 40 from McCausland through 170, heavy volume there. Westbound Eager Road from Hanley through Brentwood, look for some delays as well due to road construction causing a number of slowdowns due to it being reduced to one lane. And Illinois Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect some delays at the top of that ramp, as well as eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. For today, look forward to partly sunny skies, highs in the mid-90s. For this evening, partly cloudy, chance of showers, low around the mid-70s. For Tuesday, partly sunny in the morning, becoming mostly cloudy throughout the day, 40% chance of showers with a high around 90. Tuesday evening, showers and thunderstorms are likely with a low around 70. Then on Wednesday, partly sunny, another chance for storms with a high in the mid-80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 75 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 82 already and partly cloudy skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, tell me, sisters. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, tell me, sisters.
Time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can you stand?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. We have much business to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number, 1-877-920-WGNU. My goodness gracious, Scooter Libby. We need to talk about this. We need to talk about it as much as they tried to bury this news story in the July 4th. Holiday season, it doesn't appear to be buried. Has he been pardoned? Is there a pardon available? Where is this? Why is this? What should we make of this? Joining me this morning to facilitate that conversation is Elizabeth Holtzman, former congresswoman and the co-author of the book, The Impeachment of George Bush. She's joining us from Brooklyn. Elizabeth, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
I feel good. Thank you.
Very good. So, how bad has it been? I know that Bush and his folks thought the story would kind of like lose itself in the being patriotic during 4th of July. Did that happen?
Not exactly. Bush poll numbers have dropped, and recent poll on impeachment shows a lot of dissatisfaction with the president and with Vice President Cheney. Enormous dissatisfaction, and it's not surprising to see today that the president's team is rethinking how to deal with the Iraq war.
So let's talk about Scooter Libby. I read an article last week that the judge in the case is now asking the question, in fact, the motions are going to be heard today, of whether or not Scooter Libby can even be on probation.
Well, the judge is asking a very good question because the law suggests that probation is available after you serve a prison term. And
it's very clear, isn't it?
Right. And the president said, he wants Scooter Libby to continue to have to pay the fine and to have probation. But it's just another example of how the president acted with such urgency with overlooking or paying no attention to the rules that are already in place for how you get executive clemency. You know, they're standard procedures. There's something called the Justice Department has longstanding guidelines and regulations for how to deal with executive clemency requests and how to deal with pardon requests. And that gives some time for the Justice Department to review it and to propose whatever executive clemency there is that's appropriate that fits within the guidelines. And here the president acted with such urgency and even without a request from Libby, which is astonishing. The president acted on his own. I mean, who asked the president to do this?
And this is clemency because we haven't even gotten to the pardon piece of it.
Well, clemency it really covers pardon. It covers commutation. It covers other kinds of actions. The president just commuted the prison sentence, but think about, even though that sentence alone has now created problems with the criminal justice system because it was done with such urgency and with such carelessness, which is typical of this administration, But you have to ask the question, what kind of signal does this send to everybody and to the country, which is that there are two standards of justice, one for ordinary Americans and another for the president's top friends and assistants and staff. They can commit crimes with impunity. And even though the president said, well, I think, you know, I respect the jury verdict and there's still this serious fine and probation, he's held out the option of a complete pardon. Well, why would you do that if you respect the jury verdict? Why would you do that if you thought there should be some punishment? So clearly the president is playing games with the American people, with the criminal justice system, and undermining it and undermining our faith in the rule of law.
And when we talk about undermining and we talk about the loss of faith for the criminal justice system, we talk about the loss of faith for the criminal justice system. When George Bush says that this sentence is too harsh, what does that do to the criminal justice system?
Sure, especially too harsh in comparison to what? In comparison to other people? I never saw him show one sign of mercy for anybody else who'd been convicted of perjury and obstruction of justice during his tenure in office.
Well, can't we go back to Texas and ask about all the people on death row who were executed? We had women that were crying, talking about how their lives had been changed. Please spare my life. He rolled on with the execution, didn't he?
Of course. And I think the point is that this is a very, what would you say, a very calibrated, quote-unquote, compassion. The fact of the matter is that Libby was not just Cheney's chief of staff, the vice president's chief of staff, but he was assistant to the president of the United States. And so the president is not prepared to say that he made a mistake in his judgment of character, and he's not prepared to say that this man did something wrong. And that, it seems to me, the key to this. The president has never criticized Libby for anything he has done. And so what this commutation of sentence means, and the suggestion that a pardon still remains available. Many people believe that this is just a way of keeping Libby quiet, because Libby can tell a lot about crimes in the White House, and Libby can tell a lot of about misconduct in the White House and impeachable offenses in the White House. And so the pardon is nothing more, many people say, than just an effort to keep Libby quiet and the president in office till the end of his term.
And one more quick question, Elizabeth. A lot of people have asked the question, can this be undone? Can this commutation be undone? Can it be challenged in any way, shape, or form?
Well, most people think, I don't agree with this, most people think that a pardon can never be challenged. But I believe if a pardon is issued for corrupt purposes, if, for example, it was issued in connection with bribery. If, for example, it was issued to keep somebody quiet, I believe it's an abuse of the pardon power, and the pardon would be void.
But unless and until evidence of that, then those are that would be the only circumstances that comes to mind for.
Correct, and that's why I think we need a constitutional amendment to change the president's ability to pardon his own staff. I think that has to come to an end.
That just seems really logical, doesn't it?
Correct.
You shouldn't be able to pardon your own staff.
Right.
Elizabeth Holzman, thank you so much. Former Congresswoman and co-author of the book, The Impeachment of George Bush. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break, folks, and we're going to talk to some other folks that have a view on this issue. People that should have been pardoned, should have received commutations of sentences. We're going to be talking about that. We're going to be going to Savannah, Georgia to do that. Stay with me.
Previously on the Lone Ranger program.
How come we don't call the government nuts? Because they have sometimes outlandish conspiracy stories. When the government does it, apparently it's okay, but when anybody else does it, then it's wacky. Speaking of that, how come Hillary wasn't called a nutcase for her vast right-wing conspiracy theory that allegedly explained the Monica Lewinsky affair, and nobody ever called her a conspiracy nut? Which is exactly what should have happened. Should have been laughed off the Today Show.
For the smartest talk on radio, it's the Sloan Ranger Show, weekdays at 5 o'clock, only on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Phil Person of Person Roofing. I'd like to introduce to you one of my customers, Joe Scoggins. Mr. Scoggins, how long ago did we work on your property?
It was approximately 8 to 9 years ago, Mr. Persons.
Okay. Have you had any problems with your roof since that time?
Well, actually, about 3 weeks ago, I called you, and there was some water damage that was caused as a result of the storm last fall.
Okay.
And you were out the following day to do the repair work. And it was done in such a professional way that I would recommend you to any and everyone.
So how much did we charge you?
It was free, and it was done within a matter of 3 hours.
All right.
So I called you one day, and you were out the very next day, you and your son and his assistant, and you went up on the roof, and you accomplished the task within a matter of 3 hours.
This is Phil Person of Person Roofing. Our service starts when we complete your roof. Our number is 361-7127. You can call us day or night. 361-7127.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Quit it all another day. I don't care what others say. They think we don't listen anyway. The time has come today.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. Before I get to my guests, Kevin and Monica Benderman, I'm going to give you an opportunity to engage in some, to have to do something nice tonight. Justice for Reggie campaign will be sponsoring the showing of the documentary Race to Execution today. Tonight, actually, at 7 o'clock at the Missouri History Museum. That's on Lindell and DeBolivar. The event is free. They will be showing this, and this will be free again. So come on down to the Missouri History Museum tonight at 7 o'clock, Lindell and DeBolivar. Watch the documentary, Race to Execution. That's the Justice for Reggie campaign. We'll be sponsoring the showing of this documentary, Race to Execution. You're looking for something to do tonight? Take your family down to see this documentary, 7 o'clock at the History Museum, Lindell and DeBolivar, and it is free. Talking about justice. Talking about commutations. I'm looking at the record of George W. Bush when he was in Texas. 130-something people executed during his time. Any of those sentences did he commute? And I understand that a decree of the death penalty was not considered excessive by George W. Bush, but 20 months for Scooter Libby is. And we need to talk about what the definition of is. Let's talk about what the definition of excessive is. Again, joining me from Savannah, Georgia, Kevin and Monica Benderman want to weigh in on that issue. Kevin and Monica, good morning.
Good morning.
Kevin.
You know what? Kevin had to go to work. He tried to get the morning to talk, but...
Okay. All right.
We're still paying bills because of Kevin's excessive sentence.
So let's have a discussion about excessive sentences. Talk to us about Kevin and what happened to Kevin.
Well, Kevin was a 10-year Army veteran. He served a combat tour in Iraq. He served during the Persian Gulf War, didn't go to Iraq at that time, but went to Iraq during the time of the invasion during this war. And he, not only was it the destruction to the country that he saw, and he met a lot of the Iraqi people and found them to be wonderful people and just couldn't understand why he would level a gun at them. He also heard faulty orders from his commanders himself and also orders that got some of the soldiers in his unit injured. He saw the mass graves. He saw what it did to the country as far as the land. Came back
and the faulty orders continued. The equipment was in disrepair. He was a Bradley mechanic, so he saw up close and personal what happened to the equipment and what it took to get it up and running and to keep it running. And he talked through his chain of command, trying to get some support for the soldiers and to get better support for the equipment repairs. And they basically threw it back in his face. So we went public about it, and at the same time, he confirmed.
Okay, and we went public about what, which part?
We went public writing, trying to get some attention for the soldiers' help, talking about some of the problems that he saw in Iraq, and also talking about some of the problems that he saw as far as lack of support from the command at our installation, which is Fort Stewart in Georgia. And that, of course, angered the command. So they knew that he was trying to file for conscientious objector status. He was done with the whole mess. And when he finally did file his application, they violated regulations by throwing the application back at him, saying they would not even consider it. And we had to go.
How is that? How is that a violation of regulation?
Because the regulation for conscientious objection, which does exist, the military does have the regulation, says that when a soldier does present an application for CO status to his commander, the commander must immediately initiate the process, which means that the soldier must be given a referral to the division mental health. They have to go and be evaluated at the mental health office for their sanity, that they don't want to participate in war anymore. And then they also have to have an interview with the chaplain, and the chaplain determines whether or not the soldier is sincere in his actions. And then after that, they go to a conscientious objector hearing with an officer outside of his chain of command who does an extensive interview, which should be non-combative, but Kevin's was incredibly combative, very argumentative. And that basically, according to regulations, the commander did none of it. He said that if Kevin wanted to be a CO, that he was going to have to find a way to make it happen on his own, that he wasn't going to help him in any way. And no one within the chain of command would help Kevin.
So then how did Kevin get to a conscientious objector hearing?
Well, at the time, there was about a 12-day window when Kevin's unit was scheduled to deploy. And because we knew this was coming up and because we knew what the command was doing, just putting everything back in Kevin's face, we contacted our congressional representative, Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney at the time, who sent a very strong fax to the captain or to the commander of Kevin's battalion, saying that she strongly recommended Kevin be placed in what's called rear detachment, which is the unit that stays behind when the rest of the unit deploys, and that they give respect and consideration to his CO application. So they received that a couple of days before Kevin's battalion began deploying. On the day that they were scheduled to deploy, rather than send Kevin to the gym to start to deploy, they pulled him out, sent all the other soldiers to the gym, and the commander actually sent Kevin to a meeting to discuss his CO application with his sergeant major. Sergeant major released Kevin that day, had a long discussion with him, said, is this really what you want to do? It's going to be very difficult and arduous thing, and just a whole litany of situations that might evolve because of this application. And Kevin said, yes, sir, I want to do this. So he released Kevin on that day, that was a Friday, to work on his CO application, go home and work on your application. Monday morning, Kevin finished the application, went back, and gave it to his rear detachment commander. And the rear detachment commander placed Kevin in the rear detachment unit. And then about a week and a half later, they brought Kevin up on charges of desertion and missing movement.
Huh?
Well, they said that Kevin did not get on the plane to go to Iraq with the rest of his unit. Well, they pulled him out of the deployment. And we know now they set him up. They did in the court martial that ensued. They testified that no one knew who called the meeting. They thought Kevin and I called the meeting.
How could you do that?
Well, we didn't. We couldn't have. They actually called us. His first sergeant called us and said that the meeting had been set up by the battalion commander, and that Kevin was to report at 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock came and went, and they said, no, you need to report at 5. And so it was just a big mix-up and a setup from the time beginning. They wanted to punish Kevin because we were trying to get help for the soldiers.
And we're going to take a break. I'm talking to Monica Benderman, the wife of Kevin Benderman. We're talking about excessive sentences. They're joining us from Savannah, Georgia. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 to WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a quick look at this hour's traffic. Southbound 270 at 70 in Dorset. Look for a disabled vehicle. Left lane's blocked. North of Dorset, expect stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 40 between Ballas and 270. Look for an accident. Shoulders blocked. That's just before 270. Look for stop-and-go traffic there as a result. Westbound 270 from 367 into Washington Elizabeth. That accident's been cleared at Washington Elizabeth, but it's still causing some delays. Westbound 5570 from Tudor Avenue all the way into the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slow traffic, especially in the left lanes. Heavy volumes 270 southbound from 70 through Dorset. 70 eastbound from 270 into St. Charles Rock Road. Look for some delays. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry through Doherty Ferry. Look for some slowdowns, especially around 44 Exchange. And northbound 270 again north of Dorset Road all the way into 70, look for some delays in the left lanes due to, or into the right lanes due to the 70 access. Eager Road westbound between Hanley and Brentwood. Road construction is causing a heavy volume there. It's reduced to one lane right before you get on the 40s, causing some slowdowns. And eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270, look for heavy volume. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. For today, partly cloudy skies, chance of showers, highs in the mid-90s this evening. Partly cloudy, chance of showers with a low in the mid-70s. Tuesday, partly sunny in the morning, becoming mostly cloudy throughout the day. Chance of showers in the afternoon, highs around 90. Tuesday evening, showers and thunderstorms are likely with a low around 70. And Wednesday, partly sunny, chance of showers, highs in the mid-80s. Currently, at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 77 degrees, partly cloudy skies. Lambert Fields reporting 82 in clouds. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
People can't stop talking about the remarkable results they get with their Bowflex Tread Climber machine.
I lost over 20 pounds working out on the Tread Climber.
I've lost almost 10 inches off my waist.
The Bowflex Tread Climber machine combines the stepping motion of a stepper with the walking motion of a treadmill. It's the low-impact way to burn up to twice the calories of a treadmill at the same speed.
It's really strengthened my core, my abs, and there's no impact on my joints.
Call 1-800-888-7635 for a free information. DVD.
I'm in better shape now than I was 20 years ago.
Get a Bowflex Tread Climber machine for no money down and payments as low as $24 a month.
I'm 40 and I am in the best shape of my adult life.
Be lean, be fit, be Bowflex. For a free DVD, call 1-800-888-7635. 1-800-888-7635. On approved Bowflex credit card purchases, monthly payment is 1.5% of the purchase plus any late fee. The number of months you pay and total amount of minimum monthly payments depends on additional purchase and account balances. Call for details.
People, have you heard about Golden Grocer Natural Market? It's locally owned and operated for over 30 years and serving and meeting your health needs by ensuring the best quality and selection in vitamin supplements and organic groceries. Golden Grocer Natural Market has the largest loose herb selection around. You can also get your grains and natural beauty items as well. Their staff is friendly, knowledgeable, and committed to helping you on your journey to improved and enhanced health. Golden Grocer believes that the healthiest goal is achieving balance in every area of your life. So, live your life like it's golden, and let Golden Grocer help you along the way. Golden Grocer, Natural Market, 335 North Euclid, right there in the Central West End. Open 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday, and Sunday 12 to 5. Golden Grocer, 367-0405. That's 367-0405.
Hi, this is Judy Moskov. Join me for a Gardener's Notebook every Monday at noon. We'll be talking with gardening experts and sharing information that you need to know. Get the latest dirt on everything from tomatoes to trees. That's a Gardener's Notebook every Monday at noon.
around the world and behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
From the sky, we try to figure what happened. Burning churches, fearing God, who can be so cruel? We all ignorant to AIDS till it happens to you. Just be a man, make plans.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I'm having a conversation this hour with Monica Benderman. She is the wife of Kevin Benderman, and she's joining us from Savannah, Georgia, and we're talking about her husband, Kevin, and his imprisonment for his attempting to be a conscientious objector. And, Monica, talk to us about so how did the verdict come down?
Well, there was no evidence. Kevin went through two court martials. The first one was dismissed because the judge showed that the investigating officer, they have an Article 32 hearing, which is like a grand jury discovery phase, and the investigating officer for that Article 32 hearing showed bias by writing emails without copying the defense attorneys, but to the prosecutor and also the garrison commander, Fort Stewart, saying that she felt that Kevin was not guilty of desertion during his first combat tour, because he obviously went to Iraq, but that there was a question of his second tour. So she was trying to say that she was qualified to handle the case. Those emails came into the surface, and so the judge threw the case out and started a second one.
And how is it that Kevin would have been able to not get on that plane?
Well, they threw, as I said, the command sergeant major, I was at the meeting when he dismissed Kevin. Kevin asked him three times if he was released from deployment, and the command sergeant major said yes. The only people in the building at that time were Kevin, myself, and the sergeant major, and then the staff sergeant that was on duty watching the door. And the command sergeant major actually wrote a statement saying that Kevin had refused to deploy, which Kevin refused to sign because he hadn't said that. Of course, I signed it. I hadn't been in the room at the time that this was all written, and I told him I was only signing it to make sure that he didn't write anything to it because he'd already written a bogus statement. So I signed it and dated it. That was thrown out in the court-martial. They said that couldn't be used. The captain that was in charge of Kevin's unit sent a letter back from Iraq to the rear detachment commander telling them to give Kevin an opportunity to deploy on a plane that was flying later in the week because of the confusion surrounded with the meeting and everything. Well, they never gave Kevin that opportunity. They put him in rear detachment and started processing his CO application.
Well, if they put him in rear detachment, wasn't that proof that he wasn't AWOL?
Pretty clear to me, and it was very clear in the appeal brief that was written by Kevin's military defense attorney, a very long 15-page brief showing all the evidence that was on Kevin's side, that there really was no evidence on the command side. Yet they still managed to find him guilty of missing movement. In addition to that, after the first court-martial was dismissed, they actually added charges of larceny to the stack of charges they had already put against him. When a soldier goes to Iraq, when they touch down in Kuwait, they are immediately set up for combat pay in their pay. They get an extra $750 a month for going to combat. But that doesn't go into their pay unless the commander places it there, and he does it once they've landed in Kuwait. Kevin never got to Kuwait, but the commander placed the combat pay in his DFAS payment anyway, in his paycheck. And once we found it, when you deal with DFAS, you know that they make mistakes and they correct it. So we put in our savings knowing they were going to take it back out again. And Kevin called DFAS, said, hey, there's an error. They said, well, you won't get paid for the month of May. So for us, it was taken care of. Well, when the first court-martial was dismissed, the prosecutors came to Kevin and said, look, we're going to bring you up on charges of larceny if you do not revert back to the first investigating officer's hearing and plead guilty to missing movement. And Kevin said, I'm not going to do that because I didn't miss movement. So they pressed charges of larceny against him for stealing money from the federal government.
And he was found guilty of that?
That was ultimately dismissed. The judge laughed that off, but they put us through the process. The prosecutor on the stand, when the motion was heard to dismiss that, the prosecutor sat on the stand and said that he knew Kevin was guilty of taking the money because he was struggling to pay for a civilian attorney and I did not work. So there was no doubt in his mind that Kevin had stolen the money.
But it was in a savings account.
But no, because we didn't steal the money. It was in, we had already gone through the process with DFAS and said, look, the money's here. We know you're going to take it back out. We're not spending it. Stealing it would have been say, hey, let's go buy.
Exactly.
We handled it.
Exactly.
Just like any soldier would say, hey, there's a problem. You took the money, gave it to us. It doesn't belong to us, so take it back. And that's the process you go through with the DFAS, which is the military payment system.
So what connection do you and your husband see between the Scooter Libby commutation and Kevin's case?
Well, I don't know the connection. It's two different. It's the military in Kevin's case, and it's the government in Scooter Libby's case. And, they're obviously making an irrational decision in my mind. But the military wanted to silence Kevin, and they wanted to use him as an example for other soldiers. Don't speak out. We are going to be as tough on you as we possibly can. And the prosecution, Kevin's captain, and a military spokesman all said that publicly in statements to the media, that basically they were using Kevin's case to show other soldiers that they could not do what Kevin did and get out of going to war. So knowing that, they put him, he was sentenced to 15 months in prison, loss of all pay and allowances, reduction in rank, and a dishonorable discharge, which is the most serious discharge you can receive. And in many states, with a dishonorable discharge, you lose your right to vote.
So he went to jail.
He went to jail. He went to jail 3,000 miles away. In the dark of the night, which we thought was rather strange, he was originally assigned to Fort Knox, the prison at Fort Knox, which would have been about 10 hours from here. In the middle of the night, he was actually at the county jail. He had 15 minutes after his conviction before he went to prison, which is something else. Libby's out waiting his appeal. And Kevin had 15 minutes in a witness room before they took him. They were going to put him in leg irons and chains, but the escort said, that's ridiculous. The man is not going to be in leg irons and chains. So Kevin walked out freely to get in a van and was immediately taken to jail.
Were you shocked at how quickly it happened?
I think they just wanted to get the whole media publicity and all the attention over with, because we were not quiet during the whole process. It became an internationally known case. And so I think that's the reason it happened so quickly.
And so Kevin served how much time?
Kevin served almost 14 months. He went on July 28th, he went into prison, and he came out on August 18th of the following year, 2006.
So you and Kevin are now going around the country and speaking about this.
Yeah, we're going to speak everywhere we can and tell everybody. There's so much that happened. In addition to Kevin's case, the things that Kevin saw in this military prison, it didn't stop with a command right here at Fort Stewart. We actually incited three congressional investigations into Kevin's unit. The first sergeant, who couldn't remember that he'd called Kevin to set up the meeting, has actually been disciplined now because of sexual harassment issues. We were able to send documentation for that to the Inspector General's office, and they did investigate him. We also have tried to get some investigations going into the military prison out at Fort Lewis, because the conditions out there are deplorable and the treatment of the inmates out there are horrendous.
So Kevin has a dishonorable discharge.
His case is still on appeal, so the discharge is still pending, and we're going to fight really hard for that. It's going through the appeal process. We're actually using the military appellate offices, and the colonel and the captain responsible for Kevin's case are outstanding. Not everybody in the military is corrupt. Not everybody in the military lacks integrity. These two men are very good men with a lot of integrity, and of all the people I think that have worked with us, they have been the most attentive to what's happened with Kevin.
The sentence that Kevin received, is that typical of conscientious objectors that have engaged in this behavior, or conscientious objectors during this Iraq war?
Well, there have been some CO applications that were not denied. And we do know one, Aiden Delgado, is a conscientious objector who went through the process. He stayed in Iraq, and he went through the process. He had a command. They were a little difficult on him, and some of the soldiers in his unit were a little difficult, but he did receive his CO status. I think with Kevin, every command unit is responsible for following the regulations as they see fit. They're like a little mini government, and there's a lot of latitude in how the regulations are read, and there's no accountability within the military unless you have a command with integrity. Here at Fort Stewart, all the way up through the chain of command, there was mismanagement, there were corrupt activities. They throw supplies here away daily. things that could be going back. You know, it's taxpayer money, but things are being thrown away, army cots, food, just pitched because, you know, we've got a contractor, we'll just get more.
Mm.
Soldiers here had terrible time with medical. There was a medical doctor that was released from duty because he was tearing up medical profiles and telling soldiers that belonged here to get medical treatment that they were in condition to deploy when they were deaf, when they couldn't put their Kevlar on because their back was in such terrible condition.
Mm.
So we had two soldiers in Kevin's unit that attempted suicide on the day of deployment. One left a note saying he knew he was going to die in Iraq, and he didn't want to die in Iraq. He would rather die with his family around him.
Mm.
And so the treatment of that soldier, if his command, the same commander that prosecuted Kevin, if he had let that soldier go to the mental health division and get help, but his mindset was, we're just going to put this soldier back in combat, and that will cure him.
Mm.
And so things like that. There was a captain in Kevin's unit that stole body armor. He was responsible for the supplies, giving out the new body armor that was sent for the second deployment for the 3rd Infantry. He was taking it instead of giving it to the soldiers, and he was selling it on eBay for a profit and putting the money in his pocket.
Mm.
Now, he was given 45 days in prison for that. So let's discuss extensive sentences.
Monica Benderman, I want to thank you so much for joining me this morning on the Wake Up Call. Is there a place where people can go and find out more about Kevin's story?
They can go to BendermanDefense.org, and everything is there, and there's a myriad of links that will take them to other resources also.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. I'll be back after the break. Stay with me.
Hi, I'm Laurie Falkerson, inviting you to join me every Monday morning at 10 on AM 920 WGNU. You'll hear stories of people just like you who are overcoming obstacles and making a difference in the lives of others. You're invited to share your thoughts. You know people are what matter most to me, and I enjoy talking with you and helping you reach your highest goals. Join me for the Laurie Falkerson Show, Monday morning at 10 on AM 920 WGNU. We're here to discuss what matters most to you.
Summertime, and the living is easy, right? Not if you don't get your family reunion t-shirts done on time. Here's a tip. Call Robert Guy and Associates, 421-3200. They specialize in family reunion t-shirts and softball team t-shirts. In fact, Robert Guy and Associates will put together fabulous t-shirts for all occasions. Here's the address. 2006 Salisbury. The number is 421-3200. 3200. Robert Guy and Associates, your t-shirt specialist. And check this out. If you mention you heard this on the Liz Brown Show, you'll get 10% off. It doesn't get any better. 421-3200. Robert Guy and Associates.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal work or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up, get to me. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get to me. And if you want to email me, please do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. Here's what the Seattle PI said, the Seattle Post-Intelligencer said about the commuting of Scooter Libby's 30-month sentence. As if commuting Scooter Libby's 30-month sentence wasn't bad enough, President Bush said last week that a full-on pardon isn't out of the question. Of course it's not. Why not give a hand to someone who's helping cover up the political motivations behind leaking the name of a CIA agent whose husband happened to be an outspoken critic of the campaign to wage a war on Iraq? And comparing a potential Libby pardon with former President Clinton's pardon of financier Mark Rich is just laughable. As if letting a businessman, whose lawyer, by the way, was Scooter Libby, off the hook for what amounts to a civil suit is the same as using your presidential power to help further what is clearly a cover-up. The Seattle PI goes on in their editorial to say, we're not defending Rich's pardon, but Tony Snow's job at the White House is trying to do with Libby's situation just won't fly. Furthermore, the Seattle PI goes on to say, where are Bush's Republican critics? Do they all think that commuting Libby's prison time is a good idea? Then again, a good number of the GOP leadership are just now coming around to saying that the staying in Iraq isn't such a bright idea. Huh. We figure they all speak out about what a bad idea is, pardon was, in what, 4 years? Don't hold your breath, America. You think the Seattle PI was a little T.O.'d? You think the Seattle PI was a little T.O.'d? A little smart alecky about this? Huh. Huh. Let's just look at this commutation. When George W. Bush was the governor of Texas, 152 people were sentenced to death. 152 people were sentenced to death. And only one person was spared. George W. Bush said, in every case I would ask, is there any doubt about this individual's guilt or innocence? And have the courts had ample opportunity to review all of the legal issues in this case? That's my question for granting clemency. Well, isn't Scooter Libby's case still on appeal? Have the courts finished with this yet? No, they haven't finished with it, but he jumped in. He jumped in without asking. We had women on death row crying, talking about how God, just like Boy George said, how God had intervened in his life and stopped him from being an alcoholic and a drug abuser, a drug user, a junkie. I understand and believe in the power of God. I do. But as I recall, Boy George laughed and made fun of this woman begging to live after God had changed her life in prison. Huh. Scooter Libby's case, the courts aren't even done with it yet, and George Bush is jumping in and asking, or no, deciding, him being the decider and all, that this sentence will be commuted. Since he has been the decider in Washington, D.C., Boy George has issued 113 pardons and commuted 4 sentences. Huh. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. Ain't that some stuff?
Let's do a fair compare and contrast. And I for one, am sick of the idea of George Bush being described as he's loyal to his friends. No. Scooter Libby knows where the bodies are buried. Scooter Libby will tell folks where the bodies are buried if he has to spend one dime in jail. Dan.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
Good. I just wanted to comment on that commutation of Scooter Libby's jail sentence. And I think it's just detestable.
It is.
And I think it just goes to show that we have two types of justice in America. One for the very well-connected and rich, and one for the poor.
And middle class and everybody below that, let's be clear.
Yes, ma'am. You're right. You everybody know, below that rich.
Everybody below the very, 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 very wealthy. And I will never forget that James Carville signed on to a letter asking that Scooter Libby not have to go to jail.
Oh, he did?
Yes, he did.
I think his wife worked for.
I don't care who his wife worked for. He didn't have to put his name on there.
You're right. Exactly. You're right.
I don't care who his wife.
I think his wife worked for Scooter Libby.
Well, his wife worked for his boss, Scooter Libby's boss, for Dick Cheney.
Yeah. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She, yep. She,
you're right.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. That's right.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Dan.
Have a good day.
You too. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Ooh, we have a lot of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Another good couple of hours coming at you. I do want to give you an opportunity because I plan your life. That's what I do. Tonight at 7 o'clock, going down to the History Museum at Linda Linda Bolivar at 7 o'clock, at 7 o'clock, at 7 o'clock, and you'll be able to see a free film, free documentary, Race to Execution. It traces the fates of two death row inmates, Robert Traver in Alabama and Madison Hobley in Chicago. Go on down and join the Justice for Reggie campaign tonight at 7 o'clock at the Missouri History Museum, Lindell and DeBolivar, The Race to Execution, a documentary, and it starts at 7 p.m. It's free and open to the public. Get on down there because that's what I do. I plan your life. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me. I'll be back.
Revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can this end? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can this end?
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. You stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can this end?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
I think I'm hearing revolution in
issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Karen Chase. It's a summer sizzler in at least 10 western states where wildfires have been on a destructive rampage. More from ABC's Eric Hong.
Karen, firefighters have no containment on this blaze in central Utah, which began on Friday from a bolt of lightning. We saw 100-foot-tall flames yesterday as firefighters were battling this blaze from the air and on the ground. It's being fueled by tinder-dry conditions and really drought conditions. It hasn't rained here at all for the past month. Karen?
Fires are also raging in California, Arizona, and South Dakota. The dog days have arrived as a heat wave that's been keeping people sweltering in the western states is now frying parts of the Midwest and the East. Triple-digit temperatures are expected in Baltimore. Cooling centers are being opened in Washington, D.C. Senate Democrats are planning to push for a host of amendments to a military spending bill aimed at changing the course of American policy in Iraq. ABC's Jake Tapper takes a look at the political climate.
Republicans are increasingly abandoning the president's policy in Iraq. The ranks of rebellious Republicans are rising as the White House prepares to report to Congress in the next week on progress the Iraqi government is making, benchmarks that few expect the Iraqis to meet. Democrats hope Republicans will support their amendments to the defense spending bill on readiness requirements for U.S. troops, cutting off funding for combat operations after April 2008, changing the mission for U.S. troops, or even rescinding the 2002 authorization to go to war.
An Iraq war veteran was one of the men who tackled a gunman that opened fire at a Vegas casino last week, stopping what could have been a deadly rampage. 24-year-old National Guard Staff Sergeant Justin Lampert said the man told him, "I'm going to kill you," just before he raced over to take him down. A Texas middle schooler is in trouble for writing "I Love Alex" on the school gym wall. The sixth grader faces the same punishment as if she'd made terror threats 4 months at an alternative school. This is ABC News.
I'm a big believer in using what you've got, especially to build financial security. And one thing most of us have right now is a lot of home equity. Here are three ideas from the Millionaire Zone on how to use that equity. First, make smarter investments. Many investors are pulling out cash to earn a higher return in real estate, stocks, and other investments. I'll be back in a moment with two more ideas.
Today's advice from Jennifer Openshaw is sponsored by LendingTree. Now is the perfect time to take advantage of the equity in your home. Visit LendingTree.com or call 1-800-555-TREE and have banks compete to give you up to four real home equity offers in minutes. When banks compete, you win. See website or call for sponsorship details and licensing.
Looking to put your home equity to work? Consider a remodel. Adding square footage will give you the most bang for your buck. Finally, if you've got kids, a home loan may be their ticket to college. With a home equity line of credit, parents can use what they need during their college years, and it's tax deductible.
Robots ruled at the box office. ABC's Dave Alpert has the numbers.
Dear God, what is this?
It's Transformers, the weekend's number one movie.
I bought a car. Turned out to be an alien robot. Who knew?
The robot action flick earned almost $68 million. Last week's box office champ,
Ratatouille,
slipped to second place. Live Free or Die Hard dropped to number three. And the week's other new movie, License to Wed, starring Robin Williams, finished fourth.
Someone once said, marriage is bliss. But that someone probably wasn't married.
Dave Alpert, ABC News, Hollywood.
Katie Couric isn't exactly whistling while she's working. She tells New York Magazine, had she known she'd be doing a more traditional network newscast, her move from the Today Show wouldn't have been as appealing. She says people in her new shop were very resistant to the changes made when she first arrived. It's now back to its traditional roots, and yet still mired in third place. I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
It's time for this hour's WGNU local report. I'm Peyton Colston. Missouri's new Green Power Initiative, championed in the state legislature by Senator Chris Koster and recently signed into law by Governor Matt Blunt, sets renewable energy targets for utility companies. A 4% target by the year 2012, 8% by 2015, and 11% by the year 2020. Senator Koster, a Republican from Harrisonville, hopes the utility companies will set an example for other Missouri businesses.
I and other colleagues who have worked with me have coordinated closely with environmental groups as well as energy companies Their work has helped to craft a bill that recognizes our duty to develop cleaner domestic energy, as well as the responsibility to this development has to move us forward in an investment format that is sensible and economical.
Koster hopes the measure will encourage an increase in the use of renewable energy from sources such as ethanol, wind, hydroelectricity, solar power, hydrogen, and biomass. The measure allows communities to set up bioreactors at landfills to capture methane gas from rotting garbage. The new law also requires the Missouri Office of Administration to ensure at least 70% of all vehicles purchased for the state fleet are capable of running on a blend of up to 85% ethanol, sometimes called E85. And that's a WGNU local report for this hour. I'm Peyton Colston for AM 920.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and your weather. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry, Doherty Ferry. There's an accident. Right lane is north of Doherty Ferry. Expect stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound 70 from Mid Rivers Mall through Zumbel. Look for slow traffic due to an accident. Left lane's blocked. That's near Zumbel. Southbound 270 from 70 into Dorset. Look for an incident cleared north of Dorset. Look for slow traffic there. Westbound 40 from Clayton Skinker into 170. Look for slow traffic due to probably the construction and the lane shifts. Westbound 270 from 367 into Washington Elizabeth. That accident's been cleared. Still have some stop-and-go traffic that was at Washington Elizabeth and westbound 270. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes through 79. That traffic's easing. Eastbound 70 from 270 through St. Charles Rock Road, however, look for a very heavy volume. And as a result, northbound 270 from Dorset into 70. Look for slow traffic, actually very heavy volume in the right lanes as you approach 70 exit lanes. Westbound 5570 from Teeter into the Poplar Street Bridge. You've got some slowdowns. Westbound Kingbridge traffic's moving well. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. For today, partly cloudy, chance of showers and thunderstorms with a high in the mid-90s. For this evening, partly cloudy, another chance for showers, lows in the mid-70s. Tuesday, becoming sunny. Partly sunny, becoming mostly cloudy by the afternoon. Large chance for showers on Tuesday afternoon with a high around 90. Tuesday evening, showers and thunderstorms will continue with a low around 70. And then on Wednesday, partly sunny, chance of showers, highs in the mid-80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 79 degrees, cloudy skies. Lambert Fields reporting 83. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, talk to me, sisters. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, talk to me, sisters.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, help me, sisters.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever.
More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. It wasn't too long ago that our good government was weighing the issue of energy. That we have a what has been described by the current administration as an addiction to oil. Governments all over the country are trying to wrestle with, or at least give the appearance of wrestling with, the challenge that confronts this nation and the challenge of energy. How do we meet our energy needs? How do we do that? We've been told that biofuels, that's the solution. Biofuels. That's the answer for all that ails us. Or if it's not for all that ails us, it is the solution to the major challenges that confront us as a nation, and as we, as a nation, grappling with an energy, a fuel addiction, oil addiction, an oil addiction. Addiction. Are they the solution? Are biofuels the solution? Well, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that with two guests. Maria Aguiar. She is the Director of Global Programs for Grassroots International. And she's joining us from Boston. And Maria Mendoza, she's the Director of the Social Network for Justice and Human Rights. And she's joining us from Sao Paulo, Brazil. We need to talk about this before we get too comfortable with the idea that, oh, we have a solution. We have a great solution. We have a wonderful solution that helps farmers, that helps this nation crack its oil addiction. And that is biofuels. We're going to take a break, folks. And when we come back, we'll begin this conversation. Stay with me.
Hi, this is Phil.
And I'm Tim, and we're your hosts from The Real Deal with Sil and Tim.
Tune in every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. for real news,
or Seal's version of the news on the radio.
That's right. You can listen to my opinion or you can listen to his, but we all know we'll be listening to my opinion. You can also tune in for interviews with senators and other interesting people, like me.
So make sure you tune in every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 for The Real Deal with Seal and Tam.
Summertime, and the living is easy, right? Not if you don't get your family reunion t-shirts done on time. Here's a tip. Call Robert Guy and Associates, 421-3200. They specialize in family reunion t-shirts and softball team t-shirts. In fact, Robert Guy and Associates will put together fabulous t-shirts for all occasions. Here's the address. 2006 Salisbury. The number is 421-3200. Robert Guy and Associates, your t-shirt specialist. And check this out. If you mention you heard this on the Liz Brown Show, you'll get 10% off. It doesn't get any better. 421-3200, Robert Guy and Associates.
This is Phil Person of Person Roofing. I'd like to introduce to you one of my customers, Joe Scoggins. Mr. Scoggins, how long ago did we work on your property?
It was approximately 8 to 9 years ago, Mr. Persons.
Okay, have you had any problems with your roof since that time?
Well, actually, about 3 weeks ago, I called you, and there was some water damage that was caused as a result of the storm last fall.
Okay.
And you were out the following day to do the repair work. And it was done in such a professional way that I would recommend you to any and everyone.
So how much did we charge you?
It was free, and it was done within a matter of 3 hours.
All right.
So I called you one day, and you were out the very next day, you and your son and his assistant, and you went up on the roof, and you accomplished the task within a matter of 3 hours.
This is Phil Person of Person Roofing. Our service starts when we complete your roof. Our number is 361-7127. You can call us day or night. 361-7127.
Real life on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I'm having a conversation this morning about biofuels. Are they the solution? Joining me from São Paulo, Brazil, Maria Mendoza, Director of the Social Network for Justice and Human Rights. Maria, good morning. And also Maria Aguiar, Director of Global Programs for Grassroots International. She's joining us from Boston. Again, good morning, Maria.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Maria, I'd like to, Maria Mendoza, I'd like to talk to you about the observation that was made at the top of the hour that the issue of biofuels being the solution, that's one that's being pushed out there quite frequently by at least this government anyway.
Yes, actually, here in Brazil, it's the same thing. Our government is promoting biofuels as the solution for global warming. But what is happening, actually, is that the extension of agriculture here in Brazil, ethanol is made of sugarcane. And the expansion of sugarcane plantations is actually going into the Amazon region, in the savanna region in Brazil, which is very dangerous and can actually make global warming worse. So that whole idea that extensive agriculture can be good for the environment, it's a lie, because first of all, it's going to destroy more forests, more preserved areas, and it's also very damaging to the soil and to the water sources, because extensive agriculture uses a lot of pesticides, and destroys the soil and fresh water sources.
And isn't water the next place where we're going to have wars over?
Exactly, because actually water is a resource that cannot be replaced. So if you use more and more water for expensive agriculture, that is going to create a very serious problem, which, you know, many people in the world already suffer from lack of fresh water. And we know that this demand for fresh water from agriculture can make the situation much worse.
And Maria Aguiar, talk to us about this country's focus on biofuel. That our good government is really pushing that this is the solution, isn't it?
Well, it certainly seems so, but it's only recently that our good government has decided to try to come up with green solutions. As you know, for a long time, the U.S. did not sign on to the Kyoto Protocols, which were the protocols that were internationally formulated to try to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. They were not even looking at that, not engaged in it, and suddenly now, for reasons that are not totally clear to any of us, but some of them may have to do with failures in the Iraq War and other failures, but I think may also have to do with other things. The Bush administration has suddenly begun talking about our addiction to oil and talking about the fact that we need to find green solutions to our energy demands. And what isn't being talked about, though, Liz, is the fact that in this country we need to curb the demand for energy use, because we're currently in the U.S. using up the largest percentage of energy globally of any area in the world, and we're dependent upon that energy coming from other sources, primarily in what we call the Global South or developing countries or third world countries. So
who's having a conversation with any of us about cutting down the use? They're trying to just accommodate us in our poor actions.
Well, it seems certainly that the official position now is accommodating us, accommodating the SEBs, accommodating the fact that the government doesn't want to look at comprehensive and varied alternatives to the energy. We have wind, we have solar. We have various alternatives that could be packaged together, but this seems to be something where it's all been already cooked up, and it seems to be something where the large agro industries and the oil industries and the biotech industries have found the magic bullet to solve peak oil by going to biofuels, or what is now being called agrofuels, and it's not a clean fuel. It won't reduce gas house emissions. And it will be threatening the lives of hundreds of thousands or perhaps millions of agricultural workers across the world.
Well, let's talk about the impact on agricultural workers here in this country. How will that negatively impact their world?
That is not as clear to me in terms of this country. But what is clear to me is in this country there have been lots of folks working on trying to develop local solutions, locally controlled biofuels for local use. And the idea being that if the farmer controls the fuels and produces them locally on his land, then he can use that fuel and it's more sustainable. And that's all true. It would be. But that's not, you know, the large-scale industrial agribusiness planting of soy and corn, et cetera, for ethanol and biofuels that the Bush administration has been peddling on us. In terms of the impact on agriculture workers, it's not as clear to me, because corn and soy in this country are already largely mechanized and grown in huge, you know, fence post to fence post plantations. Most of the farm workers that we see are growing on other commodity crops and crops for human consumption.
And let's talk about the human consumption versus this biofuel consumption. What kind of impact will that have on are we in any danger of just growing this type of corn that would just be used for fuel?
Yeah, I think Maísa could talk about that. Maria Luisa could talk about that.
Well, I actually visited an ethanol plant in Iowa this a few weeks ago, and first of all, the farmers there made a contract, an agreement with Monsanto, which is one of the largest GMO companies in the world, you know, a company that specializes in producing genetically modified seeds. And they are using a type of corn that is not good for human consumption, but they grow this type of this type of corn that can only be used for producing ethanol. They grow that together with another genetically modified corn that supposedly is good for human consumption, or you know, at least people consume that, you know, in the U.S. Usually, but there is no way to control contamination. So already the U.S. population will be eating GM corn, genetically modified corn, in addition to the fact that pretty soon you can be also consuming, the corn can be contaminated by this other type of corn that is only good for producing ethanol.
Can you visually tell the difference, Maria?
Well, actually, nobody knows, because this, you know, is there is very little research on the impact of that type of seeds in for the human body. But some people, some research already indicates that people can become more resistant to antibiotics. So, you know, that can have a very serious public health impact. And in addition to that, the ethanol plants in Iowa, they have to use coal to run the plant, because for you to produce the ethanol, you need a lot of heat. So, again, you know, they are using a lot of fossil fuels, a lot of energy to produce ethanol, in addition to the fact that they are polluting the soil, and they can be also contaminating corn for human consumption.
And we're going to take a break here. I'm talking to Maria Mendoza, director of the Social Network for Justice and Human Rights, joining us from Sao Paulo, Brazil, and also Maria Aguiar, the director of Global Programs for Grassroots International, joining us from Boston. My name is Liz Brown. We'll be back.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry and Doherty Ferry. Look for that accident. It's been cleared at stop north of Doherty Ferry. However, it's causing some delays at the 44-270 exchange, so look for stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound 40 from 141 through Mason Road. Look for stop-and-go traffic due to an accident. That's at Mason Road. Expect some delays. Westbound 40 between Clayton Skinker and 170. Look for that traffic to be easing up this hour. Eastbound 70 from 370 into Zumbel. Look for an accident that's been cleared at Zumbel Road, and it's causing some slowdowns, but everything seems to be rolling smoothly now. Southbound 270 between 70 and Dorset. Look for an incident cleared north of Dorset, and traffic is easing up. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes into 79. Look for no problems to report there. Westbound 5570 from Tudor into the Poplar Street Bridge. Traffic is easing. Westbound 40 between Ballas and 270. That accident's been cleared before 270, so look for no problems to report. Westbound Kingbridge traffic's moving well into the landing. That is a look at your traffic now. Let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. For today, look forward to partly cloudy skies. Chance of showers this afternoon with a high in the mid-90s. This evening, partly cloudy. Chance of showers, lows in the mid-70s. Tuesday, partly sunny in the morning and afternoon, becoming mostly cloudy throughout the day. Chance of showers and thunderstorms, high around 90. Tuesday evening, showers and thunderstorms are likely, with a low around 70. Then on Wednesday, partly sunny, chance of showers, a high only in the mid-80s. Currently, we have 80 degrees and clouds. Lambert Field is reporting 83 and clouds. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
This is Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down at 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the conspiracy hunter right here at WGNU, 920 a.m.
School, church, civic, and other nonprofit organizations often have tight budgets. At WGNU, we understand that and remind you that we can help. If you know of a nonprofit group that would like WGNU to help promote events and ongoing programs free of charge, just send a fax with all the information to our public service department at area code 314-454-6609. Requests must be submitted 2 weeks in advance of any event. WGNU Radio reserves the right to edit or reject any submission because of time constraints and objectionable or commercial content.
Kirby Ben Hirsch, you won't believe your eyes. At this thrill-a-minute production, packed full of astonishing disappearing acts, huge illusions, and exotic animals. See a royal white tiger, a unicorn, a helicopter appearing in 4 seconds flat, assistance cut in half, one-of-a-kind surprises, and more. Plus, take a magical mystery tour backstage with Kirby and his big cats. Kirby Van Burch, millions have been amazed. Now it's your turn. Kirby Van Burch Theater, Highway 248, Branson, Missouri, 417-337-7140.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Boom, clack, boom, clack.
I want a rim shot, hey. Diggy, diggy, a rim shot, hey. Come on, a rim shot, hey. Diggy, diggy, a rim shot, hey.
I said I need to hear the
rim shot, hey. Diggy, diggy, a rim shot, hey. Come on, a rim shot.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and my guest this hour, Maria Mendoza. She's the director of the Social Network for Justice and Human Rights, joining us from Sao Paulo, Brazil. And also Maria Aguiar. She is the director of Global Programs for Grassroots International, joining us from Boston. And Maria, as the director of the Global Programs for Grassroots International, talk to us about some of the more recent campaigns that your organization has engaged in trying to raise awareness of these issues of, like, biofuels and that biofuels are not the solution to what challenges us.
Well, we're actually not a campaigning organization. We're a fairly small organization in the Northeast, but we do partner with other large membership organizations across the U.S., that work on farm and farm worker issues, as well as other what we call NGOs, non-governmental organizations that are campaigning about not only biofuels but also farm policy in general in the U.S. and how it doesn't benefit small farmers or farm workers. The way it's written now, it really, you know, benefits large agro industry. So we've been working in coalition with all the groups, and groups like the Community Food Security Coalition that is looking at our food systems and locally sourced foods and healthier foods, and trying to struggle to change policies around agriculture and food in the U.S. that would be beneficial to both farmers, farm workers, small farmers, farm workers, and consumers, and also linking it to the biofuels issues, to the water issues, to all the issues that impact, you know, both what we eat, how it's produced, and what our environment is going to end up looking like.
And Maria Mendoza, that's the corn issue. In terms of its impact on farmers there in Brazil and on farmers worldwide, this will impact on if there is a switch in focus from corn as a foodstuff to corn as biofuel, that's going to impact on the amount of corn that communities are going to be able to have for their own consumption, won't it?
Oh, yes. Actually, the use of crops for producing biofuels can create a total change in the food market. Actually, it doesn't only impact the market for corn, because corn is also the base for animal consumption. So if the price of corn increases, in addition to increasing the price of corn for food, it will increase the price of milk, eggs, cheese, meat, all kinds of foods that are related to corn, or, you know, because animals that produce that also need corn for consumption. In addition to that, if the price of corn is higher right now, many farmers will replace other crops like rice, wheat, with corn, and so the price of all kinds of food would go up. The director of the Association of Chicken Producers here in Brazil actually I read an interview with him recently, and he described this as an earthquake in the whole food market, because you are going to associate the price of food with the price of energy sources, including oil. So this is the craziest thing, you know. And the same large corporations now that control traditional sources of energy, like oil, will start controlling also the whole market for alternative sources of energy, as well as the food market. So you create a whole monopoly in which a few large corporations control all the production and distribution of energy as well as food. So it's a lot of power in the hands of few corporations who actually see that is not only there is a whole propaganda saying that this is for dealing with the issue of global warming, but what it means really is more profit for large corporations.
And we've been told here in this country, Maria, that Brazil is the answer. Your government has provided the answer of biofuels for the world. How are the average citizens seeing this? Do they view it in the same way, that this is a wonderful thing for Brazil?
Well, actually, the same way as people in the United States, you know, people here in Brazil are receiving a lot of propaganda, a lot of advertisement, false propaganda about this issue. So many people think that this is the solution, and Brazil is going to be now this, you know, superpower country, because we are going to provide energy for the rest of the world. So there is a lot of illusion about this. But what is happening on the ground is that we receive reports from many parts of the country, from communities, especially in the Amazon region. They are just terrified because, you know, the plantations are invading their land, and this is happening so fast that people are really, really scared.
When you talk about plantations invading, explain.
Well, sugarcane plantations, large sugarcane plantations and soybean plantations are going into the land of the small farmers, of indigenous communities, Afro-Brazilian rural communities, traditional communities that actually are responsible for producing the majority of food in our country. Small farmers here in Brazil produce 70% of the food for the internal market. So in addition to destroying the Amazon, the rainforest, and small farmers' communities, this can also have an impact on the price of food here in Brazil, where already one-third of our population suffer from hunger. In Brazil, we have a serious problem. People, you know, I mean, we have at least 30 million people in Brazil who don't have enough to eat every day.
Well, could we reach a place, and either one of you jump in on this, could we reach a place where it is no longer profitable or too expensive for farmers to grow corn for consumption?
Some small farmers see this as an opportunity to make money because, you know, the price of corn now is high. The problem is that these farmers will become more and more dependent just on one crop, and also more dependent on the whole distribution market that is controlled by large corporations. If tomorrow, you know, a few years from now, the main source of energy is not corn anymore, because already there is research developing other types of energy sources. So if the farmers now, small farmers, replace their other crops with corn and become totally dependent just on one source of...
And that's corn as fuel, as opposed to corn for consumption.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, if they now deal with a variety of things to make a living, you know, if they diversified their production and produce different types of food and become dependent only on one crop, that can also be very dangerous for them economically, because they would be dependent on a market that, you know, can have a can go up or down.
And Maria Aguiar, you were going to weigh in on that.
Yes. Well, I just wanted to sort of point out a couple of things. One is that the American Corn Growers Association and the National Family Farms Coalition, two organizations that have been working on reforming our farm and ag policy, they're not necessarily gung-ho for this. I mean, one thing we have seen is that corn prices have increased for U.S. corn producers. So they're happy about that, but they're not so happy about the fact that they're going to be in this race to produce more corn and, again, still dependent on the markets. And who knows when policy changes what's going to happen to them next. But they're also aware that that kind of fence post, large-scale corn production for ethanol is, you know, it's not good for biodiversity, it's not good for the environment, it is damaging the soil, and it's also damaging the water.
And couldn't we also get to the point of, if there is this rush for corn as a biofuel, there will be choices being made about which kind of corn is the best for biofuel. And we will eventually get to the place where the only kind of corn that is good for, or they say the only type of corn that is good for biofuel, is the kind that is harmful to us.
That's entirely possible, and may be what, and of course there's no way to prevent cross-pollinization out there in the field. Once it's out there, it's out there. And who knows if it could take over. And in the southern U.S., they're beginning to do GMO tree plantations. So once you have, genetically modified trees for cellulose being planted side by side with other trees, because they're now looking at also trees for ethanol production, cellulosic ethanol production, which again would be, you know, an agro-industry push. How are you going to keep those genetically modified trees from cross-pollinating with all the other diverse types of trees we have in the forest areas in the southern U.S.? There's a group called the Dogwood Alliance that's been doing a lot of work on that. And we just don't hear about this. But back to your comment about the impact on food and hunger, we
I need you to hold that thought because we have to take a break. I'm talking to Maria Aguiar, Director of Global Programs for Grassroots International, and Maria Mendoza, Director of the Social Network for Justice and Human Rights, joining us from São Paulo, Brazil. We're talking about biofuels. Are they a solution? My name is Liz Brown. Stay with us. Have you heard about Golden Grocer Natural Market? It's locally owned and operated for over 30 years and serving and meeting your health needs by ensuring the best quality and selection in vitamin supplements and organic groceries. Golden Grocer Natural Market has the largest loose herb selection around. You can also get your grains and natural beauty items as well. Their staff is friendly, knowledgeable, and committed to helping you on your journey to improved and enhanced health. Golden Grocer believes that the healthiest goal is achieving balance in every area of your life. So, live your life like it's golden, and let Golden Grocer help you along the way. Golden Grocer, Natural Market, 335 North Euclid, right there in the Central West End. Open 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday, and Sunday 12 to 5. Golden Grocer, 367-0405. That's 367-0405.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
This is Phil Person of Person Roofing. I'd like to introduce to you one of my customers, Joe Scoggins. Mr. Scoggins, how long ago did we work on your property?
It was approximately 8 to 9 years ago, Mr. Persons.
Okay, have you had any problems with your roof since that time?
Well, actually, about 3 weeks ago, I called you, and there was some water damage that was caused as a result of the storm last fall.
Okay.
And you were out the following day to do the repair work. And it was done in such a professional way that I would recommend you to any and everyone.
So how much did we charge you?
It was free, and it was done within a matter of 3 hours.
All right.
So I called you one day, and you were out the very next day, you and your son and his assistant, and you went up on the roof, and you accomplished the task within a matter of 3 hours.
This is Phil Person of Person Roofing. Our service starts when we complete your roof. Our number is 361-7127. You can call us day or night. 361-7127.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
But I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. We're having a discussion this morning about the myth of biofuels. Joining us from São Paulo, Brazil, Maria Mendoza, Director of the Social Network for Justice and Human Rights, and also joining us from Boston, Maria Aguiar, the Director of the Global Programs for Grassroots International. And Maria, you were getting ready to talk to us about some of the programs. Hunger?
Well, yeah, I just wanted to point out that as recently as last week, the United Nations top environmental official has supported a statement that came out earlier by Cuban President Fidel Castro that warned that our U.S. reliance on ethanol production will increase food prices throughout the global south, and that will have an impact on people's access to food and hunger. And I think that coupled with something that Maiza has been working on, which is documenting slave labor conditions, is a huge threat to people in developing countries and throughout the global south. Recently, I had the opportunity to speak with some of our grassroots partners with organizations in different countries, but in Haiti, where, of course, we know that malnutrition and poverty are extreme. We know that 60% of the people in Haiti still live in the countryside and are capable with support of producing food for their own families if the government were to focus on supporting them. And if the international community were to provide aid for local production. But at any rate, now, suddenly with this George Bush's focus on ethanol, it's now become our idea of a development proposal for underdeveloped countries where the rural poor would then be employed as slave labor on large sugarcane producing plantations for ethanol that would be exported to the U.S. and Europe to meet our energy demands.
And aren't we also being told that the biofuels are better for us because they reduce even deter global warming?
Yes. I mean, I think also Maria Mendoza has more stats on that, but it's true that we're being given that impression. But a lot of the environmentalists who've studied this, not because of small-scale biofuels, but the kind of large-scale, intensive production of food crops for biofuels that would impinge upon forests and that would impinge upon the soils and the water sources because they use a large amount of chemical fertilizers and pesticides. Those are the dangers that would actually, with deforestation in the equation, actually increase greenhouse gas emissions and not be good for the environment, would be worse for the environment in some ways than what we currently have.
And Maria Mendoza, can you speak to the global warming what we're being told that biofuels are going to do for global warming?
Yes, of course that, if it was possible to produce biofuels in a small scale in a way that it didn't use so much pesticide and it didn't compete with food production, that would also maybe, be a good solution. But the thing is, I'm totally convinced that without changing our consuming patterns, there is no alternative source of energy that can meet the current demand. In the United States, is responsible for 25% of all air pollution in the world, and you have 770 cars per 1,000 people in the U.S. So there is no way to meet this demand without being very destructive to our land using biofuels. So first of all, I think our governments in Brazil, in the U.S., all over the world, if our governments spend just a piece of the money they already spend on subsidies for big farmers, for car companies, if they invested that on good quality public transportation, already you would deal with a lot of the problems related to global warming. So first of all, I think we need to talk about cutting the demand. I mean, the amount of energy used for the wars, you know, for the U.S. military, the amount of oil that is needed for that, the amount of cars that we use. Sometimes, you know, we use that because we don't have a good quality alternative public transportation. So I think we need to talk about our current consuming patterns and then figure out a way to produce energy on a local scale, because if you need to import energy already, you are spending a lot of energy on transportation, so it doesn't make any sense. So I think what we advocate for is really a revolution in terms of the way we live, and then think about small-scale production of energy sources that can actually help the situation of global warming, which is very serious.
And final thoughts, Maria Aguiar, where can people go to find out more information about the myth of biofuels?
Well, there's several places. They can go to Grassroots website, grassrootsonline.org, or they can also try for something called the biofuelswatch.org website, which is actually in Europe but has excellent information if people want more detailed information. I would also suggest that people could contact the Rainforest Action Network. I think it's www.ran.org. There's lots of different resources that people can use through the internet to the Dogwood Alliance, which is in the southern United States. If they Google it, they should be able to find it. I think it's in Tennessee. There's a project called the Global Ecology Justice Project that also has done a lot of advocacy internationally and nationally in the U.S. about both biofuels and GMO seeds and trees.
And Maria Mendoza, is there a place where you'd like to direct our listeners?
Yes. We have some information in English. Of course, most of our information is in Portuguese, but you can find information in English in our website, which is www.social.org.br for Brazil.
Very good. Maria Mendoza and Maria Aguiar, thank you so much for joining me this morning on the Wake Up Call.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. I want to give you an opportunity to engage yourself this evening. Go on over to the History Museum there at Lindell and de Bolivar. There will be a film shown by the Justice for Reggie campaign. The film is Race to Execution. It's a documentary that traces the fates of two death row inmates, Robert Tavar in Russell County, Alabama, and Madison Hobley in Chicago, Illinois, tonight at 7 at the Missouri History Museum, right there at Lindell and de Bolivar, Race to Execution. That's tonight at 7 o'clock. The Justice for Reggie campaign is sponsoring this. My name is Liz Brown. I will be back in the next hour. Stay with me.
It is time for us to use our power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, help me, sister.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city. Splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Karen Chase. Sweltering heat and wildfires are plaguing much of the nation. In Washington, D.C., city officials are opening several cooling shelters in the face of temperatures flirting with triple digits and unbelievable humidity.
Yeah, we're in the D.C. swamp.
It's really, really hot, and I'm a fool for coming out here on my bicycle.
The problem is fire in 10 western states, including California, Arizona, Utah, and South Dakota, where one person was killed trying to retrieve belongings from a burning home. ABC's Eric Hong tells us one fire in Utah is being called the largest in that state's history.
A massive wildfire engulfed nearly 300,000 acres here in central Utah, making it the largest fire in the history of this state. Marlene Hodges was in her convenience store when a wall of flames bore down on her.
We were literally running to our cars. We had the flames were all around the perimeter of the building.
Ignited by lightning on Friday, the flames jumped Interstate 15, consuming more than 440 square miles of parched land and closing 60 miles of highways.
The Utah blaze is also blamed for the deaths of two people on motorcycles who either pulled over or slowed down in smoky conditions and were hit from behind by a truck. Taking a cue from London, New York City is planning to install thousands of surveillance cameras. More from ABC's Aaron Katursky.
The surveillance plan for Lower Manhattan is the first of its kind in the U.S., but it's modeled after the so-called Ring of Steel in London. It includes 3,000 cameras, license plate readers, and roadblocks. Police say it's meant to make the area less vulnerable to terrorism. London's cameras failed to stop the 2005 transit attacks, but British officials say they did help track the suspects.
It apparently doesn't take 7 years to develop an itch. A new study says people fall out of love in just 3 years. It's the divorce that happens at the seven-year mark, which adds up to more than half of married life being unhappy. Miss New Jersey says the pictures an anonymous blackmailer is using to try to get her to relinquish her crown are not pornographic. Amy Palumbo also tells the Today Show she's cooperating in a police investigation. This is ABC News.
I'm a big believer in using what you've got, especially to build financial security. And one thing most of us have right now is a lot of home equity. Here are three ideas from the Millionaire Zone on how to use that equity. First, make smarter investments. Many investors are pulling out cash to earn a higher return in real estate, stocks, and other investments. I'll be back in a moment with two more ideas.
Today's advice from Jennifer Openshaw is sponsored by LendingTree. Now is the perfect time to take advantage of the equity in your home. Visit LendingTree.com or call 1-800-555-TREE and have banks compete to give you up to four real home equity offers in minutes. When banks compete, you win. See website or call for sponsorship details and licensing.
Looking to put your home equity to work? Consider a remodel. Adding square footage will give you the most bang for your buck. Finally, if you've got kids, a home loan may be their ticket to college. With a home equity line of credit, parents can use what they need during their college years, and it's tax deductible.
The Live Earth concert was all about protecting the Earth, but it's being criticized by some who say it left a heavy carbon footprint and may have done more harm than good. ABC's Bianca Goldriga reports.
Live Earth's message was clear.
If you want to save the planet, let me see you jumping up and down.
But this morning, people are wondering if a concert aimed at raising global awareness actually caused more global damage. One estimate says that 100,000 trees would need to be planted to offset the carbon emissions released during the 24-hour event.
It was a real clash of the tennis titans at the Wimbledon men's final. Roger Federer fell to the ground with relief and joy when he powered past chief rival Rafael Nadal to win the cup. It was Federer's fifth straight Wimbledon title, tying Bjorn Borg, who applauded heartily from the stands. Asked if he wanted to say anything to Borg, Federer smiled and said, "Thanks for coming." I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom. It's time for this hour's WGNU Local Report. I'm Peyton Colston.
In the news, Missouri Governor Matt Blunt Friday vetoed a wide-ranging tax incentive bill. The measure allocated up to $12 million a year to help developers buy tracts of land in depressed areas. The bill also offered perks to employers, airlines, and rail cars. The governor's office said in a statement the bill, quote, came to his desk loaded down with excessive spending, end quote. The governor said he was prepared to call a special legislative session at which legislators could offer a pared-down version of the tax incentives stuffed into the bill. Blunt's chief objection to the bill was a change to his quality jobs effort. That program rewards businesses that provide health care and pay at or above the average local salary. The vetoed legislation would have given the same incentives to employers who pay less and do not offer health care. Blunt's other problems with the bill included eminent domain rights to help a company looking to operate dinner theater trains in Missouri, an aviation fuel tax exemption on transatlantic flights originating in Missouri, and a tax break to distribution companies moving to Missouri that would have been unavailable to firms already in the state. The governor's veto brought a rebuke from the Missouri Chamber of Commerce and Industry. The chamber's president said, quote, this bill would have greatly enhanced the business climate in Missouri, end quote. House Speaker Rod Jeddin said he would agree to a special session only if Blunt gave lawmakers leeway on what the bill should include, and only if the session occurred before lawmakers convened to consider whether to override vetoes. Otherwise, Jeddin said, quote, I would vote to override that veto. And that's WGNU News. I'm Peyton Colston for AM 920.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour, 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a quick look at this hour's traffic and your weather. Northbound 270 Gravelway and Doherty Ferry. That has since been cleared north of Doherty Ferry. Look for slow traffic as a result. Eastbound 70 from Highway 30, or Highway 370, excuse me, through Zumbel. Look for the accident's been cleared that was near Zumbel, and you expect stop and go traffic still. Southbound 270 from St. Charles Rock Road through Dorset. There's an incident that's been cleared. Look for stop and go traffic as a result. Westbound 255 at Telegraph, it was road construction, left lane's closed. Westbound 44 from Six Flags through Pacific, look for road construction. There are a number of areas that you have some road construction going on, so just look for those postings and slow down. Give yourself a break. Other than that, everything's rolling well into the Poplar Street Bridge. Everything's rolling well into downtown via the King Bridge. And that is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. For today, look forward to partly cloudy skies, chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs in the mid-90s this evening, partly cloudy, chance of showers with a low in the mid-70s. Tuesday, partly sunny in the afternoon, becoming mostly cloudy throughout the day with a high around 90. Tuesday evening, showers and thunderstorms likely, low around 70s. And Wednesday, partly sunny, 40% chance of showers, highs in the mid-80s. Currently, we've got 83 degrees and cloudy skies. Lambert Fields reporting 86. Stay tuned now for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. Up next, Riveting Radio with Liz Brown. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this be?
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm
is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, charity, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and we have much business to tend to. There have been many issues that have been catching our eye and ear and attention. And thank God that Paris Hilton is out of jail. We don't have to listen to that anymore. On a real political note, many of us have been following the story of Scooter Libby, clemency, because it was too much time. George W. Bush moved in a manner. Scooter didn't even have to ask for clemency, because normally clemency is something that is requested, always clemency. An individual requests clemency, then the government, the executive office, responds to that. Apparently he and Scooter, George and Scooter, were they were so psychologically bound that Scooter didn't even have to put it down on paper. George knew what he needed and gave it to him. Interesting. Political. And as compelling as that story is, and as important as that story is, we also have to keep our eye, we have to multitask, if you will. As we focus our attention on politics, we have to multitask. Because something else happened last week that has this administration's fingerprints all over. Why? Because they approved of it. Secretary of Interior Dirk Kempthorne on Friday approved the Minerals Management Service 2007 to 2012 Outer Continental Shelf Oil and Gas Leasing Program. That's a mouthful, and it is huge. What does that do? What does that plan do? That plan that will bind us from 2007 to 2012? Well, we're going to find out about exactly how we are bound, what we are bound to, and what this plan, this approval by Secretary of Interior Dirk Kempthorne, what this approval what door this approval opens up. Is it an environmentally destructive plan? Well, let me read you a quote just so that you can get a feel for it. Short of sending Dick Cheney to Alaska to personally club polar bear cubs to death, this administration could not have come up with a more environmentally destructive plan for endangered marine mammals. Okay, then, I'm clear. And you know what the twisted piece of that quote is that all of you can imagine Dick Cheney up there clubbing baby seals to death. You know you did. It wasn't much of a stretch. We're going to take a quick break, and afterwards we're going to get into this discussion. Kathy Siegel, director of the climate program of the Center for Biological Diversity, joining us from Joshua Tree, California. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with us.
Previously on the Lone Ranger program.
I will tell you the advice that a wise woman once gave to me for women looking for a good man. First, you find a dependable, hardworking man who's helpful around the house. Second, you find a loving man who will spoil you and take care of you and never lie to you. And third, you find a thoughtful man who can make you laugh. And most important of all, you make sure these three men never meet each other.
Oh, that's great.
The Sloan Ranger Show, weekdays at 5 o'clock, only on AM 920 WGNU.
People, have you heard about Golden Grocer Natural Market? It's locally owned and operated for over 30 years and serving and meeting your health needs by ensuring the best quality and selection in vitamin supplements and organic groceries. Golden Grocer Natural Market has the largest loose herb selection around. You can also get your grains and natural beauty items as well. Their staff is friendly, knowledgeable, and committed to helping you on your journey to improved and enhanced health. Golden Grocer believes that the healthiest goal is achieving balance in every area of your life. So, live your life like it's golden, and let Golden Grocer help you along the way. Golden Grocer, Natural Market, 335 North Euclid, right there in the Central West End. Open 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday, and Sunday 12 to 5. Golden Grocer, 367-0405. That's 367-0405.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
And it's just around the bend. There's a new world coming. This one's coming to an end. There's a new voice calling. And you can hear it if you try. And it's growing stronger with every day that passes by.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I'm having a conversation this hour with the director of the climate program of the Center for Biological Diversity, joining us from Joshua Tree, California, Cassie Siegel. Cassie, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
It's a pleasure. Talk to us about the Minerals Management Services 2007 to 2012 Outer Continental Shelf Oil and Gas Leasing Program.
This drilling plan is a keystone of the Cheney Energy Policy. What it does is it authorizes for 5 years the leasing of our offshore waters to oil companies, and it would lead to about 10 billion barrels of oil and 45 trillion cubic feet of natural gas being produced from these waters over the next 40 years.
And in included in that program, we're also talking about leasing our sales in the Gulf of Mexico, in Alaska, and also the coast of Virginia. What's the problem with this?
That's right. This plan says where we will and will not lease over the next 5 years, and it authorizes leasing in some of the most pristine, productive, and sensitive biological offshore areas, in areas like our polar bear seas, the Chukchi and Beaufort Sea off the north coast of Alaska, in Bristol Bay or the North Aleutian Basin, and also Cook Inlet in Alaska, and also in the western and central Gulf of Mexico and off the coast of Virginia.
Now, is this an in-run around Congress? Hasn't Congress been fighting this oil drilling in Alaska a bit? Hasn't Congress already been fighting this?
It is in some ways related to some of the things that have been going on in Congress, yes, but under the Outer Continental Lands Act, or OCSLA, this executive branch agency does have authority over this drilling program, and thus far Congress, unfortunately, has not acted to protect these areas permanently.
It's interesting, on the year that the bald eagle is removed from the endangered list, we have leasing now, oil leasing and leasing of land for oil drilling in places where there are other animals that haven't been removed off that list. Talk to us about that.
It's extremely ironic. This administration has protected fewer species than any administration since the Endangered Species Act was passed in 1973, an order of magnitude fewer than the Clinton administration, and far, far fewer even than the Bush one or the Reagan administrations. This administration has been very good at taking species off the list, very poor at adding species to the list, but ironically, they are now proposing to authorize drilling smack in the middle of some of our nation's most imperiled species habitat. For example, the polar bear is already drowning, starving to death, and its populations are declining all over the world because global warming is transforming the face of the Arctic. In the face of this, and in the face of a proposal to add the polar bear to the endangered species list because of global warming, the administration is now proposing to add fossil fuel development right in those offshore waters.
Has there ever been offshore drilling in any of these areas that are now up for lease?
Well, the western and central Gulf of Mexico is one of our primary oil-producing regions, and there has been some in Alaska and in other areas previously, but this would open up vast new leasing potential to the oil companies in these sensitive areas.
Surely this administration had to do some kind of study before making a decision to approve the 21 lease sales.
They did, in fact, produce quite a lot of paper, and there's two major issues in our lawsuit. The first issue is the government's complete failure to calculate or to disclose the greenhouse gas emissions that would be created from using all this fossil fuel that's going to be produced. They refused to do so. In response to our request to do so, what they said was that they didn't have to because the greenhouse gas emissions would not have any impact on their decision to lease or not to lease our offshore waters to oil companies, and therefore there was no need to release that information. We think this is an outrage and an absolutely completely crazy way to go about making these decisions. And the second major issue is the failure of the environmental documents to properly disclose or analyze the impacts to imperiled marine mammals and also these marine ecosystems from the oil and gas development.
What do you mean? They didn't do it or they didn't disclose it?
Well, they did an environmental review, but we're challenging that environmental review as improper and inadequate. So they did produce a lot of paper. They released some general information, but they didn't really analyze what the impacts of seismic exploration, production, oil spills, those kinds of things would be on the marine ecosystems.
And let's talk about the lawsuit that was filed by the Center for Biological Diversity. Filed a lawsuit, and when did you file it?
We filed that on July 2nd. This drilling plan was approved on the last Friday in June, very quietly, and we filed the case on the following Monday.
Now, what's the status of the case? Did you file for an injunction or what?
Well, the case under OCSLA, the statute, goes directly to the D.C. Court of Appeals, the Federal Appeals Court, and so that has been filed, and it will be briefed, and we'll get a decision as soon as possible. The statute does not actually provide for the issuance of an injunction against the leasing plan. Actual production of oil and gas from these areas would be a four-step process, and each of those later steps can and very likely will also be challenged in court.
Talk to us about the additional lease sale that is proposed in Alaska's Bristol Bay and the North Pacific right whale. Talk to us about that.
The North Pacific right whale is the world's most endangered whale. There are probably only about 100 of these animals left in the world, and they are concentrated almost exactly where the administration has now approved this oil and gas development in Bristol Bay. And one of the threats to them is ship strikes coming into contact with ships and being injured or killed, and other interactions with humans and industrial development. Bristol Bay also happens to be home to a $2 billion commercial fishery for wild Alaska fish, and also home to subsistence activities by indigenous Alaskan groups. So this approving industrialization right in this area was really adding insult to injury in many ways. It's quite possibly one of the worst places you could imagine to drill for oil.
Surely Congress can weigh in on this or have some impact on this, surely.
Well, certainly they could. Congress could, of course, have a positive impact on a lot of things, but they choose not to.
What could they do with this one?
Well, they could, I mean, they could simply pass a law withdrawing these areas from potential leasing. I mean, until they do that, it will be fair game for the executive branch, in this case the Minerals Management Service, the federal agency in charge of this, to go ahead and authorize leasing in these areas. But they could be withdrawn from consideration.
How much oil are they saying, or how much natural gas are they saying that will come from drilling where the world's most endangered whale lives?
Overall, they say that about 10 billion barrels and 45 trillion cubic feet.
Do we have any proof of that?
Well, that's what they say in their own press release and in their own environmental documents. That's not my calculation. That's their calculation.
But do we have any, independent calculations? Because they could very well be, that could very well be inaccurate, couldn't it?
Well, it could be, and I mean, they often make projections that turn out not to be true. One of our major claims is that if they're going to tell us that they're going to produce 10 billion barrels of oil, they also need to tell us how much greenhouse gas emissions that's going to create, and that's what they've refused to do.
Well, shouldn't they also be responsible if they don't produce half that much? I mean, because if they're the ones that are doing the projecting and
right.
they're making the decision based
right.
on your projections, and if you don't meet half of your projections, shouldn't there be some kind of penalty attached to that?
Well, yes. I mean, one of the really tragic things about this plan is that we could save more oil than they even say they will produce from these areas with common sense measures like increasing fuel economy, increasing energy efficiency of buildings, and increasing renewable power generation like solar and wind, and through many, many other measures that this administration has relentlessly and ruthlessly opposed, and Congress is so far failed to enact. So I think that is really the great tragedy of this plan, is that it's committing us to another 40 years of offshore oil and gas production. It's really a handout to these oil companies right now when we stand on the brink of enacting federal legislation to deal with global warming. It's handing out to them what they will perceive and argue is the right to drill in these areas, and that's something that we simply can't allow to pass unchallenged.
And we will be back. I'm talking to Cassie Siegel, Director of the Climate Program of the Center for Biological Diversity. She's joining us from Joshua Tree, California. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with us.
Time Life presents the complete 10 CD Classic Soul Ballads Collection. 144 sensual ballads. Luther Vandross, Al Green, Barry White, Aretha Franklin.
Just to be close to you.
And now, for the first time ever, you can check out the entire 10 CD collection for 30 days for just $9.95. But wait,
When you order with your credit card, you'll get free shipping and handling. That's a savings of nearly $13. So order with your credit card. And for just $9.95, you can enjoy all 10 CDs of Classic Soul Ballads in your home. And we'll ship it to you free. If it's not the best collection you've ever heard, send it back and owe nothing more.
Call 1-800-313-6969. That's 1-800-313-6969. 1-800-313-6969.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. This hour I am having a conversation with Cassie Siegel. She's the director of the climate program of the Center for Biological Diversity. We're talking about a challenge that the Center for Biological Diversity has filed, a court challenge to the Bush administration's approval of a nationwide plan governing the sale of all offshore oil and gas leases in federal waters over the next 5 years. And, Cassie, as I'm looking at this plan and then this permission now for that will obligate us to 5 years of this and to the next 40 years even, what is the most concerning part of this for you?
I would say the biggest problem is this 1-2 punch of, number one, committing us to additional greenhouse gas emissions and refusing to even disclose those to the public, fueling the flame of global warming, which is transforming, in particular, the Arctic, which is warming at about twice the rate of the rest of the world overall. And then on top of that, what you're doing is you're introducing industrial development, seismic exploration, oil spills, things like that, directly into the habitat of these creatures which are so imperiled already by global warming. And that is why my colleague Brendan Cummings said that short of sending Dick Cheney up to Alaska to personally club polar bear cubs to death, there's not too many things that the administration could have thought up that would be more detrimental to marine mammals than this plan.
And what do you recommend that people do? Your organization has filed a lawsuit. What can people do?
Well, folks can find us on the web at biologicaldiversity.org, can read more about this issue and others. We are a membership-supported organization, so joining us, if they like what they see, would be a great place to start. And folks can also contact their elected representatives and tell them that this plan is an outrage, that we should not be handing out the right to lease and to drill to oil companies while Congress is debating what to do about global warming. We should not be committing ourselves to another 6 billion or so million metric tons of greenhouse gas emissions through this plan, and that they want their representatives to actually do something about it.
Do we know whether this plan was part of the things that were discussed in that mystery meeting that we're not allowed to find out about if Dick Cheney has his way, that energy meeting in the White House at the beginning of this administration?
I do not and cannot know that for sure, but this notion of massive offshore oil and gas development is certainly one of the keystones of the Cheney energy policy. And, you know, this administration's energy policy is simply stated insanity. It is committing us to far more fossil fuel development, things like oil, gas, and coal, while at the same time refusing to deal with global warming, which is quite possibly the greatest environmental challenge that we have ever faced.
You stated a little earlier that this administration will go down in history as the worst in terms of protecting animals and keeping animals on putting animals on the endangered list and taking animals off of the endangered list. Talk to us about the bald eagle. It has been removed from the endangered list. Is that good? Is that bad? Does that say something about that we're doing the right things, or does it say something problematic about this administration once again?
Well, the bald eagle is a special case, and one of the things that the bald eagle demonstrates is how well the Endangered Species Act works. About 80% or more of species that have become extinct since the passage of the Endangered Species Act in 1973 have not been on the list. And some of those that have been on the list, their extinction can be attributed to long delays in getting them on the list. So the Endangered Species Act is our nation's safety net for plants and animals on the brink of extinction. It works extremely well, and it's our nation's strongest and best law for the protection of these animals. And the Endangered Species Act, like many other species the bald eagle, like many other species, has recovered. It is has shown a remarkable rebound. We have far, far more bald eagles now than we did when they were listed, and that's a very, very good thing. Unfortunately, the bald eagle has not recovered in all parts of its range, in particular in the Southwest. The desert nesting bald eagle has not been recovering and should not have been removed from the list. So while in many areas the eagle has recovered and that's terrific, the administration, in its zeal to remove protection for species, is going ahead and taking the full species off the list when that really shouldn't happen. Another problem is that they have change the definitions in the Bald and Golden Eagle Protection Act in order to provide some additional, they say, protections to bald eagles once they're removed from the list, which they say will be sufficient to protect the eagle. But the problem with those definitions is that they will not protect bald eagle habitat. So, for example, if you went on vacation and when you came back your house was so badly trashed that you couldn't live in it, you would probably consider that you had been disturbed. Under these new definitions, the definition of disturb for bald eagle does not include habitat destruction. So the rules that the administration have put in place to protect bald eagles once they're removed are far, far weaker and really not good enough to protect our national symbol.
And what about putting species on the list? How has this administration fared?
This administration has listed about 9 species per year. This is compared to about 63 species per year under the Clinton administration, about 52 per year under the Bush 1 administration, far, far fewer than any other administration in history. These folks have been more hostile to endangered species and the environment than any other administration that we've ever experienced, and it will be one of one of their most negative and lasting legacies, though there are many, unfortunately.
I've read numerous articles, seen a lot of stories tracking the fate of the polar bear and attaching to the demise of the polar bear to global warming. Mm-hmm. And I've read articles saying that one of the reasons why this administration is resistant to put the polar bear on the endangered list is because then they would have to admit to something that they believe does not exist. Do you believe that the reason why we only have 9 species per year in this administration enter onto the Endangered Species Act is because of politics?
Oh, absolutely. It's 100% political, and we've seen that time and time again with the scandals attached to these appointees in the Department of Interior and others, most recently with the resignation of Julie McDonald, who was Deputy Assistant Secretary of the Interior and who resigned after it came to light that she had modified repeatedly the determinations of biologists in order to reduce protections to species, particularly in California, where she owned a ranch with her husband and had financial interests. And the thing about the polar bear petition, which we wrote at the end of 2004 and early 2005 and filed the same day that the Kyoto Protocol came into effect without the participation of the United States, is that when the administration is making a listing determination under the Endangered Species Act, they are limited to considering only the best available science. That's what the statute limits them to. And so by filing the polar bear petition, we put them in a situation where they either had to acknowledge the science, acknowledge the threat, and propose to list polar bears, or they had to deny it, and they would face a lawsuit from us in federal court where we could put the science of global warming squarely before a federal judge and litigate what it is that this administration needs to look at when they make these kinds of decisions. This is an administration which has repeatedly denied and downplayed the science of global warming. And so I think that, with the polar bear, they have previously denied protection to so many species, but they were under such intense media scrutiny when the time for making the polar bear decision came around, because we had had to file a lawsuit just to get them to respond to the petition, and they were under a court-ordered deadline to make that decision by the end of 2006. They were under such intense media scrutiny that they decided that they simply couldn't deny the science anymore. They went ahead and proposed the polar bear for listing. They still need to make a final listing determination. That is due at the beginning of 2008.
Because it's not protected, right?
Right. The species receive no formal protection under the Act until the listing is finalized. The listing process takes 2 years. It's allowed to take up to 2 years by statute. Unfortunately, with this administration, because we universally have to sue them to get them to do anything, it runs out for even longer than that.
So the polar bear, I suspect, is one of the top priorities, but give us a couple more priorities or animals or species that are not on the list that this administration should have on the list.
Well, another timely example is 12 of the world's penguin species. We filed a petition to have those species in the Southern Hemisphere and in Antarctica listed at the end of 2006, and we've heard that a positive 90-day finding, the first step in the listing process, was submitted to the Federal Register on Friday afternoon, so we will hopefully have more news on that soon, that there's a 10 of those species will be advancing towards protection. Several species of Caribbean corals, the staghorn and elkhorn corals, which are reef-building corals, were listed by the National Marine Fisheries Service in 2006 because of global warming. And there are so many other species. The Kidlitz's murrelet is a seabird in Alaska for which we petitioned due to global warming back in 2001. And the list could go on and on and on. Scientists tell us that if greenhouse gas emissions continue unabated, one-third of the Earth species would be committed to extinction by the middle of this century. That is absolutely a devastating projection if you are a biodiversity activist or even someone who just cares about plants and animals.
And do we seem to have a Congress that is concerned about this?
Well, I think there are some in Congress who are very concerned. Unfortunately, Congress has not yet acted as one body to do something about it, and that's what we need to do. Scientists are telling us that just 10 more years of business as usual emissions would essentially commit us to climate disaster. This is because just 10 more years of global emissions going on as they are now would raise atmospheric CO2 concentrations so high that it would be difficult, if not impossible, to keep those concentrations below 450 parts per million. They're already at 380 parts per million and going up at over 2 parts per million per year. And leading scientists tell us that 450 parts per million is the absolute danger threshold, which we must not cross. If we cross that threshold, they tell us that we are likely to have impacts such as 20 feet of sea level rise, which could occur in as little as 100 years, such as extinction of a third of the world's species. And so I think a lot of people, and particularly a lot of people in Congress, don't realize just how urgent this is and just how little time we have to get a handle on this problem.
Give us your website once again, please.
We're on the web at biologicaldiversity.org.
Very good. Cassie Siegel, Director of the Climate Program of the Center for Biological Diversity, thank you so much for joining me this morning on the Wake Up Call.
It was my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back after that. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's my number. Stay with me. Living is easy, right? Not if you don't get your family reunion t-shirts done on time. Here's a tip. Call Robert Guy and Associates, 421-3200. They specialize in family reunion t-shirts and softball team t-shirts. In fact, Robert Guy and Associates will put together fabulous t-shirts for all occasions. Here's the address. 2006 Salisbury. The number is 421-3200. Robert Guy and Associates, your t-shirt specialist. And check this out. If you mention you heard this on the Liz Brown Show, you'll get 10% off. It doesn't get any better. 421-3200, Robert Guy and Associates.
This is Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down at 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the conspiracy hunter right here at WGNU 920 a.m.
This is Phil Person of Person Roofing. I'd like to introduce to you one of my customers, Joe Scoggins. Mr. Scoggins, how long ago did we work on your property?
It was approximately 8 to 9 years ago, Mr. Persons.
Okay. Have you had any problems with your roof since that time?
Well, actually, about 3 weeks ago, I called you, and there was some water damage that was caused as a result of the storm last fall.
Okay.
And you were out the following day to do the repair work. And it was done in such a professional way that I would recommend you to any and everyone.
So how much did we charge you?
It was free, and it was done within a matter of 3 hours.
All right.
So I called you one day, and you were out the very next day, you and your son and his assistant, and you went up on the roof, and you accomplished the task within a matter of 3 hours.
This is Phil Person of Person Roofing. Our service starts when we complete your roof. Our number is 361-7127. You can call us day or night. 361-7127.
Hi, I'm Laurie Fulkerson, inviting you to join me every Monday morning at 10 on AM 920 WGNU. You'll hear stories of people just like you who are overcoming obstacles and making the difference in the lives of others. You're invited to share your thoughts. You know people are what matter most to me, and I enjoy talking with you and helping you reach your highest goals. Join me for the Laurie Fulkerson Show, Monday morning at 10 on AM 920 WGNU. We're here to discuss what matters most to you.
around the world, and behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. Say my name. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get up. Get to me. We have much business to tend to. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. revolution@lizbrown.com. Get up. Get to me. We have much business to attend to. I think I want to end where I began this morning. We have 10 minutes left. I wanna get back to where I began this morning. I'm gonna start with an article that. It's almost, I guess it's an incredulous headline from their perspective. Turns out that Barry Bonds has fans. I'm just upset about the spectacle. The spectacle that was engaged in, not the spectacle that was engaged in, how people behaved themselves with Barry Bonds this weekend while Barry Bonds was in town. The booing, and I'm trying to get to the reason for the booing that does not involve race. Simply to say it's not about race is not enough. I'm trying to get to the rage that exists. I get to the foundation of the rage directed at Barry Bonds. I don't get it. Yeah, I do. I'm playing. Yeah, I do. I get it. I get it because it has a familiar energy to it. I get it because it has a consistent content to it. I get it because I've seen it before. And I have seen it, I have not seen it. Where similarly situated white guys do not get this type of rage. Tell me. Tell me why y'all mad at Barry. You ain't mad at Barry for anything that he has done. You're mad at him for what he was born as, a man of African descent. Yeah, that's what you're mad at. This article saying, apparently Barry Bonds has fans. Yeah, he was voted into the All-Star game. Voted into the All-Star game? Barry Bonds is fixing to break Hank Aaron's home run record. And despite that, the baseball commissioner, Selig, has not committed to being in the stand when that happens. You know what? Kiss my grits. Kiss my grits. You're not going to be in the stands, you're not? Huh. Why? What has he done? Where's the proof of it? Where's the proof of it? We have a commissioner that hasn't said boo about drunk driving baseball managers. Drunk driving and self-killing baseball players. What you mad at Barry? What'd he do? What did Barry Bonds do? And how is your assessment of what you think he did different than your assessment of what you've known that other baseball players, white baseball players, have done. Example. Mark McGwire. I don't know a sports writer in St. Louis, sports commentator in St. Louis, that didn't call him a jerk. And worse, when they were writing about trying to engage in just human exchanges. Hi, Mark, how you doing? Well, I can't tell you, but bump off. That was his attitude. Those were his words. He's never touched anybody. We've had baseball players that have hit reporters. We have baseball players that have body checked reporters and camera people. Barry Bonds hasn't laid his hands on anybody, but he doesn't laugh. He doesn't think y'all are funny because he saw how they did his father. So he doesn't act the way that you think that. So you think he should act. So you're going to decide how he should act. And how's your plan working on Barry Bonds' movement towards breaking Hank Aaron's record? How y'all impacting on him? Let me see. He's 43 years old. He's one of the oldest players in baseball to start on a daily basis. He leads the major leagues in walks, 91 walks and 30 intentional walks. He's played in 78 of his club's first 86 games, tying him for the team's lead. Of those 78 games, Barry Bonds has started in 66 of them in left field and 6 as a designated hitter on the road games. Barry Bonds says he feels great. He is getting ready to surpass his 147 games that he played in 2004. So tell me again how the steroids impact. Let's say that Barry Bonds was taking steroids like a mug for the year that you're saying that he took them. Okay, how do you explain this stuff? That was how many years ago? How do you explain this stuff? Why, if Barry Bonds is taking steroids now, they would be able to prove it, wouldn't they? Wouldn't they? They probably just have a magic bag in the place where he goes to the bathroom, just so that they could just, you know, get it and make sure we got him. He's probably tested every 15 minutes. And yet no steroids can be found. So. If he's not taking steroids now, why does he have 91 walks? Why does he have 30 intentional walks? What y'all scared of? What y'all scared of? Pitch to him. I dare you. I will. But you know what Barry said? And I love Barry Bonds. I truly do. He says, you know what? I don't mind if you're not pitching to me. I'm staying in the game. I'll be back next year. And he says the more he plays, the more plate appearances he takes, the more money he makes. The one-year free agent deal he signed in the offseason will pay him as much as $20 million if he reaches 525 plate appearances. He has 313 plate appearances going into the break. Do the math. And he's going to earn all except $700,000 of the $4.2 million in incentive bonuses by the time he gets to 450 plate appearances. Now, that's $4.2 million in bonuses, darling. In bonuses. That ain't his paycheck. That's bonus money. Bonus money. Why y'all mad at him? Oh, by the way, and Barry said, and I quote, I'm not quitting. You guys can pitch to me now, or you can wait till next year. I'm still coming back. I'm planning on playing. The sooner I get it done, the sooner I can probably go home. So you might as well just get it done. Because he's going to be in your face, not smiling again next season. He's only 43. Trust me. He'll be back. My name is Liz Brand. I'll be back, too. You need to get up. You need to get to me. I'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. And as always, stay strong.
The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemy of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal dignity.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we observe
for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Karen Chase. Firefighters still haven't gotten a grip on the deadly wildfire near Black Hills, South Dakota.
The fire is 20% contained at this point, with full containment expected on July 12th.
However, Information Center spokeswoman Peggy Vaughn says it is still out of control. One person was killed in that fire trying to remove belongings from a burning home. Firefighters in Utah are tangling with what they call an unprecedented wildfire.
This is the biggest fire that's ever been in Utah.
And they're battling extreme heat along with the flames.
Our normal here in the hottest summer used to be 90 degrees and it's 100, 100.